B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, and a very important day, because a little later we'll have the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey, on the show. But let's talk about the Sixers and the performance that we witnessed last night by the man who right now is the best player in the league. I mean, it's really simple. Joel Embiid is just taking over, and he needed to last night. He didn't get a lot of help from his team. They slogged along, got behind a really bad team, and then he just buried them in the third quarter. Those stats are mind-boggling. 50 points in 27 minutes is pretty incredible effort. Here's the thing. A game like that, and I know it was against Orlando. The Sixers now are kind of like inching up into seeding, and are only 2.5 games out of first place, right? Now, I don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the year. The good teams usually rise to the occasion. The cream of the crop usually rises. But let's look at what they are now. And we'll go over a lot of this with Daryl Morey at 3 o'clock. But conventional wisdom is they're short. They're not good enough to win the conference. And one game against Orlando isn't going to tell you that they're any closer. But I'm just wondering aloud whether this guy can carry them to heights that we don't expect without them making a deal. Now, you know, you can ask me 25 ways in the past, and I would say, no, they can't. They can't win the conference. They're not good enough to win the conference. But if this guy carries them like he carries them, I just wonder if it's possible that they could slide this season into, like, an elite status. I mean, I don't know. Am I going overboard here, Tyrone?
I don't think you are for a couple of reasons. There's real reasons. You're right. I still think, in theory, at the end of the day, and I've been saying it all year, that at the end of the day, the Bucks and the Nets, in whatever order, will be your top two teams. And in the second round, that's who you would have to play. I still think that. But the Nets are flimsy in that Durant's now out a month. You don't know what's going on with Kyrie. Harden seems like he's not happy there. And the Bucks seem to have a bit of a hangover after a championship. Atlanta's trying to make deals. They're a mess. Do you already trust a team like Chicago? I don't. Do you trust a team like the Hornets? Personally, I don't. There is no reason why, if this guy's going to play like that, they can't steal something in a way that doesn't make sense on paper. So while is it likely? Probably not. It's not insane. He's that good.
Yeah, you know, the thing, I get trapped by a couple things. Number one is this notion that without help, that they're gonna burn away another Joel Embiid season. And at the end of the day, they don't make a deal, it's going to kind of be like a waste. But what buoys you is, like, is it possible? Like, they could steal something in this year? Now, you look at the standings, the Chicago Bulls. Are they going to stay up there? I mean, I don't know. They don't have the pedigree to really stay up there, in my opinion. And you got the Heat. I mean, you know, we're talking about teams that really, I don't know, can carry the mail through the whole route. And the Nets and Bucks, they obviously, are going to be the main focus. But can you beat them four times? Is what the whole question is. And I don't know. But last night, you saw a display where Joel Embiid showed that he was a blend of the great skills that have defined every great player, when you look at it, right? You look at the Shaq piece, right? You look at the Dirk piece. You got that. You look at the way he's can off the dribble do some things. I mean, every blend, and it was talked about after the game. Like, he wanted to be Embiid. But, he's also said, I could be Dirk, Kobe, or MJ. And shooting off the dribble, pull-ups, or ball handling, just a combination of everything offensively. Yeah, I get it. And it's going to have to take, like, the most dominant performance maybe in the history of the NBA to carry the Sixers to a conference title. But I'm just wondering, if they don't make the deal, and I'm inclined to think they're not going to make a deal at the trading deadline, and we're going to have to wait till the offseason, and this year will be a year with just Embiid and other guys, I'm just wondering how far it can go.
That's a good question, and it's a great question because... And I respect Miami. I probably left them out. I do respect Miami once they get Bam all gone, uh-huh. Jimmy and all them, and Lowry. That's a lot of toughness on a team. So I do respect that Heat team, and they would be ahead. But when you have the best player, somebody told me that a long time ago. Somebody that used to play in the league, I don't remember, said that when you have the best player, you always have a shot. So if you have, that doesn't mean you always win, but if you have the best player, and you can make, whatever you think about Jokic and all that stuff, that's the West. Let's just forget it for a second because it's dumb. When you're playing these teams, it's hard to make the argument that the Sixers don't have the best player. And if you have the best player, you usually have a shot despite what other things you have. And they have one sliver of hope in-house, and that's how good can Maxey get now, it's probably too much to ask of him right now at his age of 21 years old to be a Robin already. But that's the sliver because you kind of know what Tobias is going to do. He's going to get you 18 and change. Curry's going to do what he does. That's your thing. But if you have the best player, and right now you mentioned it, right this moment, he's the best player in the league. You got a shot.
I want to couch this. They didn't beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night with him scoring 50. He didn't dominate the Milwaukee Bucks. He dominated. It was a bad team they played against, and you don't really have the measuring stick that it was against a good team. And not only that, but then you have to beat that good team four times. So he would have to do that like repeatedly to carry them on a nightly basis. But I'm just thinking aloud here because I'm trying to come up with something in my brain that would alleviate the disappointment of them just burning off a whole season without getting help for that 25 who wrecked this whole season. And I'm thinking, is there any kind of salvation out there that would make us feel less bad about this whole thing that they've been trying to go through the season depleted without their second best player? And I'm grabbing onto it, and I want to hold on to it.
You should. And Jen, let me ask you, did you enjoy watching that game last night?
I had so much fun watching the Sixers last night.
You enjoyed
it. And I know who they were playing, too. It was still fun.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
So with that said, Mike, I do think that when you have somebody this special, kind of like when we were watching Iverson at his size do what he did, even if you don't win a championship in that given year, I don't think it's a waste when a player's that special. If a guy's doing that, I enjoyed every moment that he was on the floor, regardless of, just like Jen did. And some of this is bringing back for me the innocence of the game, and that winning is still obviously the number one thing by far. But it's not just that. Like the year Kobe scored 81, they didn't win the title. But that year where Kobe averaged like 35 a night, that was still a special year because he was so immensely incredible that it was worth watching every single game. And Embiid has now reached the point where even if they don't win a title, watching him every single night has become a complete pleasure. What the hell is this guy going to do next? That behind-the-back full court thing, I didn't know he could do that. I'd never seen him do that before. He just throws that out there. It's getting to that level to where winning still counts the most. But it's not a waste watching this team.
Well,
that's how great he is.
But let's think back to the Iverson thing. That one guy gave them a shot.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
like
absolutely.
That one guy gave him a shot. So I'm going, all right, stranger things have happened. So in the meantime, it's keeping me a little bit afloat because I had pretty much dismissed any notion that they could possibly have of winning the conference. And I'm I'm trying to get something to pull me back in, right? So maybe I'm going a little overboard here. But I know, Tyrone, you have come to the conclusion And a game like last night can help push you to great plateaus. But you already think that he's the best Sixer player ever.
Yes. Now, he's not the most accomplished yet, so you can't say it. I am telling you that what he does on both ends of the floor, better than Wilt, better than Doc, better than Barkley, better than Iverson.
Are you going to start a Wilt people?
This is my God. This is not disrespect. I know the game has changed. Joel Embiid does more things than anyone that's ever played for the Sixers. Now, he has to do it over a longer period of time to pass those guys. You have to do it year after year after year. But what he does, no one's ever seen it. I don't want to hear any old timer tell me you saw Wilt go full court behind the back, making threes. No, you didn't see it. Barkley, Barkley didn't play defense. No disrespect. Barkley will tell you. He has told us he didn't play defense. Iverson really couldn't play defense at that level of 6 foot tall and 160 pounds, bony as hell, as he used to say. He couldn't do it. The dominance that he has on both ends, we've never seen that in this city. He's the best Sixer ever. Period. He's not the most accomplished, so you can't put him above Doc. You can't put him above those guys who did it over a long period. He's better than all of them. He just is.
We will talk about it. We will also mix in a lot of Eagles stuff today. So Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations, will join us at 3 o'clock, and I have a lot of questions for him. And we'll see how close we can get to. There's a big deal that's out there, okay? Everybody's writing about it. He's probably not going to address it specifically, but I'm just wondering, in general, is that the type of deal that would be good enough for him? And it was something we mentioned yesterday, and it's in the newspapers today. The Sacramento Kings, with the deal being you get Halliburton, you get Buddy Hield, you get Harrison Barnes, and you get two number one picks. And you send them Simmons, Tobias, and Thibault is the deal. So we'll see if I don't know how many Sixer fans would go for that deal. You can comment on that. And I'm not sure the president of basketball operations would go for it. But we'll try to squeeze it out of them at three.
I hope so. I'm excited about this. This is going to be big.
Here's how you get into the show. It's 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And we're also going to play a little game today with soundbite accompaniment called Bull Feathers or Honest.
Bull Feathers?
Bull Feathers or Honest.
As in?
I had to, you know, clean the...
Gotcha.
The bull part of it up.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
With sound bites from Roseman and Sirianni from yesterday. So it's a show you don't want to miss. 610-632-0975. We are back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it is 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. Our computers are bagged up, we're good. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lion Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's county locations. They're in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. You can do that today. Let's start our Twitter poll. Twitter poll. Brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. PoweredByMoyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and more. You can order online at PoweredByMoyer.com. Jennifer Scordo with today's Twitter poll.
Would the Sixers not making a Simmons trade this year be a waste of a great Embiid season? You can answer yes, do a deal, or no, waiting for the right deal. Right now, yes, do a deal is winning by 57%.
Do a deal is winning.
Do a deal.
Yeah.
For me, it's get the right deal.
Yeah,
it's got to be the right deal.
Yep.
And that's probably what Daryl Morey is going to say. It's the right deal. It's the right deal. And if you have to, well, last time he was on, he said, if it takes 4 years, he, you know, that was a bold statement that really, I'm sure literally he did not mean 4 years, but I think he, what he's saying is if we don't get the right deal, we're not making a deal, which means that maybe they have to make it in the offseason. And maybe that deal in the offseason is James Harden. It's very logical that it could be that. And then you're running the risk of, you know, the, what people say, well, then you just burned off a season. But the other side of that is this guy, Embiid, can carry you, then maybe you haven't wasted a season. And that's the intrigue for the rest of the year. 610-632-0975. All right, let's go right to the phone. Let's start it. And we'll go with Al in North Philly. What's up, Al?
Hey, what up, Mike? What up?
How you been?
I'm good. I have a couple of points and a question. I'm going to say off front, I don't agree with waiting, and here's my reasoning why. As I look at the NBA, there is no dominant team. The Big Three era, I believe, is over. All of the Big Threes, they're old. Last year, we saw the Suns and the Bucks in the finals. Neither one has a Big Three. And by Big Three, I mean three guys that were number one, were the best player on their team, and then they came together to win. That didn't happen last year. That hasn't happened the last couple of years. Well, I guess LeBron and AD, maybe you could consider one. All right, I give you that. But I'm looking around. I'm not seeing a dominant team. I've seen that the Sixers, when they're full strength, I don't see a team in this current NBA that they can't compete with. So the whole strategy of waiting is this idea that Ben is worth a superstar. And I want to ask you, and I want you to ask Maury, if you're another team, if you're the GM, and even if I'll go to the lowest hanging fruit, Jaylen Brown. Ben Simmons is literally a joke to them. They call the guys that can't shoot on their team, they say, what are you, Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
So what makes us think that they're going to give up Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons or any of the other guys?
You don't know what they're going to do. So what are you saying? That you would take less? Why would you take less? Let me ask you a question. What's the advantage for you to take less just to make a deal?
Because I'm not taking less. I'm taking what I believe.
What are you taking?
You got. I would take Halliburton.
Yeah, but it's got to be more than Halliburton because of the salary.
Yeah, well, again, Halliburton, Hill, the deal that's out there.
Okay, Hill, well, that's a good deal. That's not a deal for the sake of making a deal. If that deal's out there, then maybe Maury makes that deal. You don't know that. I thought you were talking about making a deal for the sake of making a deal.
Okay. I'm saying not getting back Dame or the guy in I'm having a brain fart right now. Or Brown, not getting back an all-star level player. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, but I think you can get look what you would be getting from Sacramento. That's a pretty good deal that would really help you out. In addition, you get two number one picks out of that deal. Okay, well, I don't know that deal's not good enough for them. I don't even know if it was proposed. I'm certainly going to ask him. He's not going to tell me. He's not going to talk about specific players.
Well, if he's saying that he's going to turn a deal like that down, I think that's something that we can be critical of him over.
Okay, but we're never going to know that. Well, you got some. Of course, I'm going to ask him.
He's not going to talk about it.
You know, general managers get fined for talking about specific players.
I need you to ask him that question, and I need you to also ask him why he thinks Ben Simmons is going to bring back a star level player.
Well, because he believes that Ben Simmons is that type of caliber of player. He said it many times before. I don't have to ask him that question anymore. He is telling you what he thinks his value of his own player is, and he's not going to settle for less. And I appreciate that, actually.
Yeah. I also, I don't think you win a title with that trade. I think you can win a title with Harden. If it's Harden in the offseason.
So you would not make that deal?
I would not.
Okay.
Because I want an all-star back. Halliburton is not currently an all-star. Buddy Hield will never be an all-star. Fans love Buddy Hield now. They would hate Buddy Hield if he was here. They would hate him. Yeah, watch. Yeah. Just watch when he gets here, if that trade happens, how much fans hate him. Actually, I'm okay with the Harrison Barnes and the picks part of it.
Yeah.
And Halliburton's a good player. I've just, Buddy Hield does nothing for me.
Well,
every fan thinks he's a good player, yet why is he always available? He was already traded, and then the Lakers voided the trade to do the Westbrook deal.
Yeah, he's kind of a mutt.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I
would prefer Harden in the offseason to that deal.
I don't know if that would be good enough for Morey. He wants a star caliber player back. In that deal, there's not a star caliber player. There are pieces. I don't know what he would do. Well, I would suggest that probably he would wait till the offseason and get Harden, because he loves Harden. He may not love these guys. He knows he can love Harden and make that deal in the offseason.
Yeah, now, if you do make that trade, that doesn't mean all is lost. It just means that Buddy Hield's a bench player that you end up not liking that much, because the fans will end up booing him. Oh, but it'll end up being bad. But Halliburton may become a star player, but it's just, now you're waiting. Like, it doesn't just solve the issue that fans think, like, oh, wasting a D. You very well can end up, quote, wasting that year. I don't look at it like that, because he's playing at such a high level.
Yeah.
But you still could, quote, waste a year with Halliburton, because I don't think he's ready to be a number two on a championship team.
L raised a good question about what the perception of the fans would be for that deal. So what is your perception? I mean, listen, it's all about what Daryl Morey thinks. It's really not what I think. I look at that deal and I go, it's not bad. I would think about it. I get two number one picks in there. I get a point guard who could be a starting point guard for the next many years. I get a shooter off the bench. You can give me some threes. I don't know. It's not that bad if he thinks he can do better. It's up to him whether he thinks he can do better with that. But it's interesting. Once that's out there now, if that is out there and that's not good enough for him, well, that opens himself up to fans like hell. How could you turn that down? You wait. You don't know you're going to get hard and blah, blah, blah. You know how these fans are.
Yeah, and to L's point, I mean, I guess one, L, I know, doesn't watch a lot of Kings basketball, because if he did, he would ask himself in that deal, why are the Kings never good if these players are all good? Why do the Kings never win anything if those players are all so good? Well, I'm not talking about winning championships. I'm saying, why don't they ever make the playoffs?
His answer to you would be, you bring those players on with Embiid, and all of a sudden they're going to do something.
Yeah.
That's what his answer is.
Losing players usually don't go to another team and become winning players. Usually you get players that are middling, that make the playoffs, and then they come and help your team because they're used to winning. Those Kings players are used to nothing but losing, because they've done nothing but lose.
But they also have a losing attitude. It's a losing city, and they take the quarters losers. You come to Philadelphia, it's a different thing.
That's a good point.
Not for some players, losing's in the bone marrow.
Well, it could be, but it's also environment can change your marrow a little bit.
I think so.
I would need to see something where a player was a career loser, went to a winning team, and became a winning player for that team. I think it's very rare.
Wiggins?
Yeah, they don't win because of him.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't win because
of
him.
He comes to a team that has really good players.
As the number four option. You're asking Halliburton to be your starting point guard on a playoff team right now. They don't ask Wiggins to be the guy. Curry, Draymond.
Well, Halliburton's really a young player. Wiggins, we've seen enough of the years and what he is. Halliburton may be capable of being that point guard for a very good team.
He possibly could be. I do not think that Buddy Hield or Harrison Barnes are capable.
Oh, no, they're parts.
Yeah.
So the question is, would you trade it for a star, a point guard who could maybe be a star, and a couple of valuable bench players in addition to two number one picks? Are you maximizing Ben with that? That's the question.
And why wouldn't that trade also be available in the offseason?
It could be.
I would rather do it then. I exhaust that whole Harden thing. Or Beal, who's now going to be available.
But you're not thinking that deal would push the Sixers closer? If they're kind of close now, that deal wouldn't push them closer?
They would not beat the Nets or the Bucks with that deal.
Spanky in Cobbs Creek. What's up, Spank? Spanky! Spanky, did you just fall asleep on me? Did Spanky fall asleep?
He sounds like
Spanky's asleep. Yo, Spank! let's put him on hold. I think Spanky dozed. let's get back with Spanky. Mike in Atlantic City. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, Mike?
Okay, I understand about Simmons, and I wholly agree with that. I'd be a little upset with Harris going along in the trade, but I guess I'd have to accept what I'm not accepting is them throwing Feibel in the deal. Feibel is possibly the first team defensive player, if he's around long enough. And they're going to put him on the deal. Not only are you losing a defensive star in Simmons, but you can't lose Simmons and Feibel, too.
Well, my answer to you would be Feibel just doesn't do enough on the other end for me to worry about it, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's why you have...
You can't have a guy just as a defensive specialist if he's got to play a lot of minutes. He kills your whole pattern, what you're trying to do offensively, because he can't
he's
do it.
He's young enough to be developed.
Yeah, really? He's young enough?
He's only 24 years old.
He's 25. Yeah, but he's going to be 25. That would not stop me from making the deal, Feibel. I think you're going a little too far with Feibel.
Yes.
He can't score at all in this league.
Simmons, Harris, and Feibel, no.
Okay. All right, so then what do you got with this team then? Tell me what you got.
Oh, I understand Simmons and Harris, but not Feibel. And that's the end of it. Feibel is just...
Let me get this straight. Feibel's your untouchable?
I heard that Feibel was almost untouchable.
Come on, Mike. Come on. All right. He's not untouchable.
Right. Just like Embiid is definitely untouchable. Feibel, with his defense, is almost untouchable. But he's good enough not to trade.
Mike, all right. Listen, I think you're way overvaluing Feibel. Nice defensive player. A nice defensive player can play 20 minutes a game. That's what a nice defensive player can. Because he's such a liability on the other end.
He played 20 minutes a game last year, and
because they had another play. They had another player on the floor. Well, when you don't have enough, when you need another player to replace Ben, then his offense really sticks out as poor.
Right.
All right. Listen, man. I don't know. Thiel's a nice player. I wouldn't want to lose him either. It wouldn't stop me from making a deal.
His defense is very valuable, mm-hmm. and I'm sure Daryl Morey would attempt to not move him. Mm-hmm. And I know that Maxey is too good for him to put in. He's not going to be a throw-in. If they trade him, they'll be trading him because they're getting something significant, mm-hmm. Maxey. But Maxey has passed Thybul in importance. Maybe in the offseason before we saw Maxey take a step this year, mm-hmm. maybe we would have thought differently. If you're looking at the games, unfortunately, Thybul's offense has regressed. His shooting
and therefore you can't play him as many minutes as you would like to play him.
Right, all the time. He has certain matchups where he's great. You saw people remember, he did a good job on certain guys, like he did on Curry. The problem is, ISO teams like Boston, where he can just stick Tatum the whole time, great. Teams that really move the ball, and you have to match him shot for shot, he doesn't shoot enough.
He's gotten on my bad list, which is probably influencing my opinion on this.
Maybe.
He's on my bad list at this point. I just don't understand how a perimeter player that size has no offensive skills. I just don't get it. Yeah. So that's why he's on my bad list.
And my fear is he'll be 25 on March 4th. In the current NBA, that's no longer considered a young player. Maxey at 21, he's a young player. Mm-hmm. 25 years old is no longer considered a young player. He's going to be 25. I don't know how much his offense is going to develop, being that it hasn't up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes the guy. Like, there's really nothing not to like about him as a guy. But, I mean, he's not untouchable.
No, he's not. I get two lists. He's not on my top list. Like, he's not on my hate list. He's on my bad list.
Who's on your hate list?
Well, you know who's on my hate list.
We know.
Yeah. You know he's shooting, Rich Hoffman hooked me up with the stat. Under 29% from three this year. I hadn't looked at it that close.
It was the guy giving him support on Twitter last night I was going back and forth with. Or was it today?
I mean, a shooter who shoots under 29% from three has no place in this league. He's only playing right now because both Thybul and Green. You saw they tried Charlie Brown Jr. last night to start over Courtright. Even Doc is like, you know what, enough. It's just Charlie Brown Jr. wasn't making it. Charlie Brown Jr., who just got here 5 seconds ago, started last night because even Doc was like, enough with this dude. He's not making any shots. A Euro. Boy, that's really got to grind your gears. A Euro who doesn't make threes? Oh.
There's something that's taking over me because everything bothers me about that guy. The way he runs back on defense bothers me.
Well, why would that bother
you? He's got flapping chicken wing arms. When he
now you're just nitpicking.
It is nitpicking, but look at the way he runs back. He's got these arms. Yeah, it doesn't look like a basketball player.
But that doesn't, because I don't expect any Euro to actually play defense.
No, I'm not even talking about the defense.
But they got to make shots.
The whole, I don't know. There's just something about the guy that I just...
He
irks me.
Yeah.
He just irks me.
He's on your head.
Yeah. Nick in Elkins Park, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Nick.
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Nick?
So this is just from being a Sixers fan and just watching this team and being disappointed. I think you have to make that deal as constituted. Mm-hmm. Halliburton, I don't know how closely you guys have looked at his stats. The guy shoots 46% from the field and almost 42% from three.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
When you say the guy can be, but should be the starting point guard for like the next 8 years, like that's not a stretch.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. So and here's another thing: the dynamic to that deal. If you're getting back two number ones, you could package that with some of your own picks and make a move this offseason.
You could. I assume those would be protected picks.
Well, point being, it's not like you. This isn't. Simmons is an exposed player at this point. Everyone in the league knows what he is. The deals aren't going to get any better. And I called you a couple months ago, and I said at that point that, and if Darryl's listening right now,
I thought
he overplayed his hand back then. I think he should have went out and gotten Brogdon if that deal was on the, you know, you guys said, oh, we can't act like that. That deal was on the table.
Yeah, I don't know it was on the table.
Well, okay. I think he
what do you got inside info? Was you know it was on the table?
I certainly don't have more information than you do.
All right. Well, if I don't know it was on the table, I don't know how you can know it was on the table.
I read the same things that you do, the same types of reports.
Yeah, we talk. You know, here's the difference. We also talk to some people. You know, so.
No, I hear you.
You got me. I know everybody thinks you can do this job. It's real easy. All you do is read and look at watch sports, but. You know, we do a little more.
Mike, I respect you. I'm just saying.
All right. Your evaluation of Halliburton, I like it. His numbers are pretty good. He shoots 43 from three. He's a 14-7 assist guy, and he's young.
And that's the thing. I mean, what are we talking about here? You guys are talking about Korkmaz shooting under 30% from three. Let's make a move. Like, you got Halliburton running points. You got Maxey there. Like, this fan base is funny. Of course it's going to be Thybul. That's the guy that's going to hang up this trade with this fan base because everyone loves the dude. He's likable. But Harris is a bum. Ben Simmons.
Why is he so likable, Thybul?
Because
he can't make a shot. What is likable about a guy who can't make a shot?
Because other people don't measure likability
come on, evaluate the player.
You got
it doesn't matter that he's likable. Why? Because he smiles a lot.
People like that.
They like that. And the fact that he has become. It's very easy. We like to be flattered. He came here and really invested in the city of Philadelphia. And we love that.
That goes a long way.
That goes. We're suckers for that kind of stuff.
Well, then invest in making a shot. How about that? How about Maxey? Maxey smiles. Maxey can play.
Well, we love. They love Maxey. Maxey
can score.
Yeah, he can.
So, like, okay, he smiles. Good. Now make a shot, and I really like you.
Well, I hear you, but that's not everyone's lens.
Well, it should be everybody's lens.
The other part is
he doesn't help you offensively.
He plays defense, and there are certain people that appreciate, and we've talked about this 40 trillion times, the grit of defense.
Why can't you play defense and make a shot? I'm not asking them to do Kevin Durant. Right. I'm asking them to make a couple shots.
You're saying that when standing wide open in the corner,
yes.
And you catch the three.
Or off the dribble, work on getting to the basket off the dribble. Do something to improve your skills.
Yeah. But other people look at it as he's a smiler.
He's a handsome guy. Very handsome fella.
And we do love people who love to see. And I do, too. That's why I like so much about Embiid, who's a great player and also loves being here and raises his kids here and spends his offseason time here.
Likeability factor.
Yeah.
It's big.
But it's a big thing here. It's way bigger than it should be. That's why when people use the tough city. No, it's not. Live here and like us.
We like Bryce Harper because he loves the city? Or what? Or else?
I prefer the fact that he's a star player.
Okay.
But others, that makes it the makes people a that used difference. To have, there are people right now, Mike, no lie, I've talked to them, who still don't like him because of the whole Nationals thing.
Well,
because he wasn't always a Philadelphia.
Those are just foolish people.
Well, those people are still people.
He loves the city, but what we love about him mostly is that some gun can play.
The MVP, right? That's what I like the most.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care where you're going all season if you do that.
That's his best quality.
Yeah, I think he's out in Vegas
now. I understand he's got special defensive abilities, thought. Well, I get it. That ain't all the NBA has to be for you as a guard. You can't be just like a special player who gets a couple steals. You got to help out.
Just like you can't be the point guard who just passes anymore. Like
Scott Skiles type, you gotta make shots as a point guard now.
Yeah, Scott Skiles type that would get literally some games
30 assists.
Right, but couldn't score at all, couldn't defend. That doesn't exist anymore. But some people are like, see, that's a good player. He knows his role.
This hard-nosed crap that goes on. Well, he plays hard-nosed defense. Okay. You know, don't stop there. One more.
Keep going.
All right, 610-632-0975. Quick break, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, 2:45, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations, joins us at 3 o'clock. Talk about all kinds of things with the Sixers and what's going on right now as the trading deadline looms. Will they make a deal? Will they wait till offseason? If they wait till offseason, is this team good enough to make a run anyway? That's what we're talking about today. We go to Tony in South Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing?
What's up, Tony?
I don't agree that Embiid's the best Sixer ever. I think Tyrone, I don't know if he ever saw a real play, but I'm older now.
Unfortunately, I'm not. I am under 65, so I did not.
No, and so it's hard. I think it's hard for you to make that statement. Embiid scored 50 points last night for a second time. Wilt scored 50 points 118 times. He also scored 100 points in a game.
Tony, this is like the conversation we normally get into with older people who have affection for Wilt. The game has changed considerably, right? You need to have more of an abundance of skills in today's NBA because of the quickness, because of the athleticism, because of the double teaming. Wilt stood alone in that era. He dominated everybody physically. So you can see like why Tyrone would make an argument like that. And I know you guys are always affectionate to Wilt. I understand it. But you got to open your mind to other things because the NBA has changed.
I understand the NBA.
Answer me this question. When you look at Embiid's skill set, you look at Wilt's, what conclusion do you come up with?
Okay, so you're saying his skill set because he brought the ball up, he went behind his back, he drove.
He has all those skills. He can handle the ball, he can shoot it, he can move with the ball, he makes free throws. He has an abundance of skills that Wilt didn't have to have in that NBA.
Okay, well, that's your opinion.
It's not an opinion, it's a fact.
Yeah, okay, but how do you know that Wilt
Well, I mean, the listen,
game?
The NBA was a post, with Wilt, it was a post-dominant NBA with guys that weren't athletic that could never handle him in the post. But he didn't have to go out and shoot shots. He didn't have to handle the ball.
Well, you know, there's centers now in the NBA.
Yeah, but there are no centers in the NBA. The game has changed to the point where there's no Wilts in the NBA. So, Survive, you got to do an abundance of things because of the way they defend you anymore.
And this is the thing that puts me in a bit of a tough spot.
You knew you were going to trigger this, didn't you?
Yeah, but I know.
All the Wilt people, it's like a siren.
And I don't even know if that's even good radio. I would say Wilt was just one. I think he's better than all of them. Yet Barkley people don't get upset, or Iverson people don't get us. It's only the Wilt people that get mad.
Well, you knew that was going to happen. The Wilt people hold on to Wilt like it's, you know, grim death. Well, you know, they just hold on. It's Wilt. Wilt was the hero, and you can't crack that egg.
Well, I'm looking
for those older people.
This is what challenges me with him as far as could he play in today's game as far as and be as dominant is the shooting factor because of the foul shooting, because that's a measurement. If a guy can shoot fouls, that means that he probably has some form of shooting touch. Well, his best year, he shot 61% from the foul line. And then there's a year in his career in which he shot 38% from the foul line. He was getting there 11 times a game. So it wasn't like for lack of practice. 42% in the game. I don't know. I don't think that he would be able to shoot it enough to play in this league. And it's not. That's just my opinion.
He was a prolific scorer. Scored 100 points in the game. I get it. Many times he scored 50. He had a monstrous physical advantage against everybody he played. Sometimes that happens where your physical advantage is just in that time, you just outclass anybody physically.
Right.
And there weren't enough guys that were like that.
And
I don't want to demean him because he was a great, great, great player. But you're talking about finger rolling over people like almost every time he had the ball in the post.
Right. And that's all. But it's not just Wilt. Don't fixate on Wilt. I said better than Dr. J. I said better than Barkley. I said better than all of them. Don't just go to Wilt. So is his argument, oh, well, he's second best and he is better than Dr. J. But if that's the case, he's pretty damn good, isn't he? If he's better than Iverson, Dr. J, and Barkley, then he's and Moses,
people,
pretty damn good.
See, this is what traps people about Embiid, the freaking Wilt factor, because they think that the game could still be played the way Wilt played it. And it can't. It can't. It's a game of spacing now. It's a game of getting athletic guys to get to the basket as well. It's a game of dribble drive, kick out for three. You can't have a guy just sit in a post every possession anymore.
And you're right. That's what gets under people's skin. Because even last night I saw a couple people. He should have been in the post more. How? He scored 50 in 27 minutes.
It's a curse of Wilt and Shaq.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
Meanwhile, his contemporaries, David Robinson shot the ball. Patrick Ewing shot the ball. Olajuwon shot the ball. Only Shaq played like Shaq. Not every center when Shaq was playing played like Shaq.
Well.
Even when Shaq played, not every center played like Shaq.
He hasn't alleviated the narrative with his rantings on TNT
right.
all the time.
You would think David Robinson's the softest human being ever born. But he shot the ball some. He didn't just post up. Patrick Ewing didn't just show up. All those other great Hall of Fame centers during Shaq's era didn't play just like Shaq.
He made a fadeaway three last night. And I'm going to, like, Wilt's not going to make that shot. He's just not. You know, it's getting space with the handle. Like, that's a skill that no big guy, like, Wilt never had that skill. Then people say, "Whoa, you know, Wilt ran the 40 or the 60-yard dash in 3.2 seconds. He was a hurdler. He was a volleyball great ball. Yes, okay, but the skill set back then, you didn't have to have the skill set you have to have now. In my opinion,
I appreciate that, Mike, because you're older than I am. So maybe people will believe you more than they believe me.
They don't believe me
because they decided. Also, they decided I'm 12." You didn't see anybody play. Embiid's the first guy you ever seen play basketball.
Listen, I vaguely saw the bill very minimally, but I remember that the only shot that he would ever make was that he would have a fadeaway bank shot that from about, you know, 10, 12 feet away. He would lean back and fire it off the glass. But he never had to handle it. He never had to beat anybody off the dribble. He never had to step out and like ball fake and do stuff like that. All right. Daryl Morey's coming up at 3 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Audience, 3 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. All right, the Sixers with a monster win last night. It was a monster win because of one guy just played out of his mind and exhibited every skill that he has in his sack. And that was Joel Embiid with 50 points in 27 minutes. And he showed you a variety. He showed you power. He showed you Dirk. He showed you handling the basketball. He showed you step back threes. It was just an amazing performance. And so it's led us today to talk about, or at least bring up a conversation. Can one guy take this team to greater heights than we originally thought? And to get some insight on that and many other things, we are now joined by the president of basketball operations, Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. Now, let's first start with the Embiid factor and what he did last night, and you're watching the performance. A performance like that wows all of us, but it also triggers some more questions about the future of the season down the line. So, first of all, what is your reaction when you're watching that guy do that last night?
I mean, it was mind-bending. It's so special, and I loved every minute of it. I'm glad that we had set this up and it happened after that performance, because I think, as a Philadelphia 76ers, your fans out there and myself, you just got to realize how we're in a special time, and we all do take a step back and just say, this is, we're all seeing greatness, and in a person who's a great person as well. And, it's special. It makes all of us at the Sixers organization who get up every morning and say, look, how can we win a championship? And obviously we'd be winning it for not just Joel, but the city and the fans and everybody. But you, it feels like an extra responsibility when you have someone playing this great to make sure we do the right things.
And so the urgency to win a championship is there. Now let's try to put this in perspective. The conventional wisdom, and I'm assuming that even inside your building, is that maybe you're just a little short to winning a conference and playing for an NBA title. But when you look at how one guy can carry a team, have you looked at it like, without a deal, we could still be in this? What is the truth that you guys are going over right now with your team?
Sure. I think, the best way to, get a sense of that is to look at NBA history, and I'm a student of NBA history. I know Doc is even better than me. Elton Brand was a great player as well. And, it has happened that someone playing as well as Embiid has won the title. So I do absolutely believe that this team, even without any changes, has a chance. It's not as good a chance as any of us want. We want to improve that chance. We want to improve both every day in practice, but also in my job in figuring out how to maybe add to the team in a way that it really improves what's happening around Joel and Tobias and our other great players. So, at the end of the day, for sure we have a chance. I mean, you can literally go to Vegas and bet on it right now, so you can calculate it. It's a real chance. It's not where I like to be. I like to be at least in the top five in the league. We're just outside of that. But we absolutely have a chance, and we know how special it is.
All right, let's talk about the other side now to enhance your chances and what you've been trying to do all year long with this whole thing. Is your phone ringing extra these days, and are you using it more as we get closer to the trading deadline? Or is this really an active situation that there's going to be a deal made?
I would say there's a lot of chatter around the league, whether it's a deal with us or between multiple teams. There's a lot of frustrated teams out there. I would put us in the frustrated camp in that, you know, we don't have our whole team. We do have a big, you know, chunk of our, you know, pretty constrained salary that we can pay to players not playing. And so that's very frustrating. So I think we're in that. And then there's teams that are frustrated because they're losing or not quite as good as they thought they would be. And that's creating a lot of chatter. So I do think there's going to be a lot of movement around this February deadline. And, you know, if something makes sense for the Sixers, obviously we're going to do that.
Would you say right now that, you got this all figured out, that there's more of a likelihood at the trading deadline that you would make a deal or in the off season?
Well, I think we're just talking like any sort of trade. I do think the odds are that we'll probably, I like any year you have a chance. Last year we made a trade at the deadline that didn't quite work. But, you know, generally, historically, you know, I've personally had a good track record on bringing folks in at the trade deadline. So regardless if it's the sort of the big trade, you know, involving Ben that people are expecting or something we would like to add to this team, it's just obviously the Ben deal, you know, takes on more significance. That's the deal. I think what everyone sees what's happening with Joel and how special that is. And all of our reaction, our emotional reaction, including mine, is like, we have got to do whatever we can to help him. And that reaction's correct. But I think it's the initial reaction that means that we should just get the best thing possible in February. I think that leads you to a bad place. It's precisely because Joel is playing so amazing that this deal has to be the one that addresses our needs, addresses our defense, which isn't playoff good enough at this point, addresses our rebounding, which isn't playoff good enough, addresses our playmaking, as Doc said. Very important that we improve that. It's important we improve our transition. We have actually a lot of things we need to improve, and anyone who's watched a lot of NBA basketball throughout history knows that you cannot do that across multiple players. It just doesn't work. They can't all play. And as we add players, it means that really good, solid players like we have, like a Tybull, or as an example, you know, they just play less, or a Maxey plays less. It really is important that the player we add to Joel, if we really want to take our odds from wherever they're at right now to something materially higher, it has to come back in an impact player. If we do it, and 76ers fans should know that better than any. Like, you know, past great players have been traded for multiple players, and it didn't work out very well. The only player that's remembered in the Charles Barkley trade is because they're a head coach in the league or a prominent coach in the league now. If you trade one of these great players for multiple, it does not move your championship odds enough to make a difference. It might take us from where we're at now to a little bit better, but it's very slightly better. And we want to, for Joel, we have to make sure we get this right and that we move ourselves into a higher tier of championship ability to win the championship and not just nudge ourselves from having the seventh best chance to maybe the sixth best chance in the league. It just doesn't make sense.
I get, and you've said this all along, you have to get a star player in return for Ben Simmons. Now, I guess what I'm asking you is, the value for that star player, is it more at the trading deadline in your experience, or would it be in the offseason? And if it's the offseason, how do you then tell your fans that you basically burned a season to wait for a better deal in the offseason?
Well, first off, it's whenever it comes, right? Because you always have to compare your question, which is a good one, to the alternative. So let's say we don't make a big move at this deadline, which has a very good chance of happening, right? The comparison is to our where we're sitting right now. We are actually sitting on a solid chance to win the championship with how well Joel is playing, how well Doc is coaching, how well the players are playing around him. We have a solid chance. If all the trades at the February deadline only help us in a very marginal way, what we've done is not really helped our chance this year. We just feel better about ourselves because there's a couple names that people maybe recognize, and we're like, oh, this is exciting. We got a couple new names. But we really haven't changed our place, and now we no longer have that ability to get an impact player later. This is literally our way to pair Joel with Tobias and another impact player to give ourselves a real chance to win. And if we just do a marginal trade that's mostly sideways, because we'll all feel better that there are names playing on the court, that will hurt Joel, that will hurt the 76ers, that will hurt our whole roster in the long run more than if we're patient.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, but fans will look at it differently. Fans will go, you burned away a season. Maybe the players you could have gotten would have helped you this year. So how can you expect us to...
My point is this. Our best alternative to doing a trade also burns away the season. If they think we're burning the season away without trading Ben, we are not only burning this season away if we trade Ben for something that makes everyone feel good, we're also burning away all the other future seasons. So it makes sense. We're burning way more by doing a marginal trade than if we are patient. We have a solid chance this year, and then we also have the ability to win more in the future as well. My point is trade or no trade, we're burning away. Whatever they view as burning away is being burned away.
Okay, so you're saying even if you make a less than stellar deal, that's going to hurt you even worse.
Yeah, and the labels like stellar and things like, none of that matters to me. None of that matters to anybody. We're not looking for a stellar deal. We are looking for a deal that makes us a championship contender in the top two or three in the league of winning the title. Those are the teams that win, right? Mm-hmm. We are not, like, if we do a deal that takes us from the eighth best chance to win the championship to seventh, you know, you're looking at like a 0.5% better. And everyone feels better because Ben Simmons, who people, you know, want gone, people will feel better that that name is no longer there. But our odds haven't changed much at all, and now we've not only burned away this season, we burned away our future as well.
We're talking with Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations. Daryl, I got to ask you about this because it's out there now, and this rumored deal with Sacramento. There's a lot of names being thrown about. It's not a star caliber player in the deal that you would get back. It's Hill, Halliburton, Barnes, two first-round picks, and you'd be giving up Simmons, Harris, and Thybulle. Is that the type of deal that makes sense to you?
So first, I have to express some empathy with Philadelphia 76ers fans who are hungry for news. So they have nothing else to do than debate possible deals. And I can just tell you for a fact that these things that are tweeted out, reported on, there's really only one reliable reporter I know about. But we have nothing better to do, I think, and I don't blame them, than debate, you know, fake trade rumors and deals. But people get, and it's very frustrating for me, and I'm sure it's frustrating for fans too. I mean, we had a trade debated. It might even be this one that was tweeted out by Ball Sack Sports. I mean, like, people were treating that like it was a real thing. I mean, that is what we're dealing with. And look, we've had conversations with pretty much every team in the league about Ben. I can tell you for a fact that nothing's gotten into a range. And generally, they don't get into a range of a possible deal till you get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, I'm just asking you, hypothetically, whether that would be a deal that would be good enough.
So, now you have to tell me what, because it's completely
Hill, Halliburton, Barnes.
Tell me your made-up deal.
The deal is Hill, Halliburton, Barnes, two first-round picks. You would give up Simmons, Tobias, and Thybulle. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, I will answer this as best I can. I can't talk about a specific. I can tell you that for sure there are deals with the Sacramento Kings that I think would work would work. Will those deals ever happen? I have no idea. Are they just straight deals with the Kings? Probably not. Is it multiple teams? Probably. But for sure there are deals that are possible that would go over our line. To your question earlier on Joel, I do think with how great Joel is, our line has moved down a little bit. Like the how much, because Joel has lifted us into contention by his sheer will of greatness this year, that does push the number of deals that we would do are more likely, if that makes any sense. It's more likely that we can find ones that get us into that top few contention because of how great Joel is playing. So we are sitting right now on a better chance of a trade that actually helps Joel and the Sixers and Tobias and our whole team. There's a better chance one happens because of how great Joel is playing.
Why would that be? Why would that be a greater chance because of the way Joel's playing? Why would somebody be willing to give you something that you want only because Joel's playing better?
It's less about them. It's more about us. I'm basically acknowledging your initial question earlier. Look, we absolutely need to get an impact player, but you know, there's an impact player who has to be in the top 30 of the league. Because Joel's playing amazing and has lifted us into probably 5% plus title as just on his play, right? Now we might be able to do it with a top 40 player who's a great fit.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
You. Yeah, okay.
We might be able to do it with, you know, it opens up possibly, or we could do it where we do a trade, it helps the team, it's a better fit, and maybe our future opportunities are still open because we get some draft picks as part of it. So it ups our odds enough this year, and we maybe have a draft pick or a young player who could help us into the future who might develop. Like if we got like a player of the caliber of a Maxey coming back, we might be able to say, okay, we got a really solid player who's maybe not in the top 30, but he's a little bit below that, plus a solid young player who over Joel's prime, which we're sitting in, might develop into that. So it opens up more possibilities of deals, okay, if that makes sense.
All right. Let me go back to the meeting you had with the agent for Ben Simmons, Rich Paul, last week. And by all accounts, nothing really happened in that meeting. So I got to ask you, what was the purpose of the meeting if it wasn't meant to solicit any action? What were you expecting it to do?
Well, I think action comes from dialogue, and that meeting was really about getting the dialogue better to a better place, and that's continued. My conversations with Ben Simmons, you know, Rich Paul and his agents, Elton's conversations, our conversations, you know, with, I'm not going to get into specifics, but there's been more conversations with Ben directly. So there's been more conversations. I can tell you for sure that those conversations have not progressed. So you're 100% right about that. But as anyone knows who's dealing with a difficult situation like we are, you don't make progress without first having a foundation of dialogue. And that's where we've gotten to. And we need to continue that. And hopefully those get somewhere. We shall see.
The notion is that if he came back and played, it would help you guys foster a trade for him. Is his agent on board with that or not?
It's very hard for me to comment on the specific conversations with Rich. Those were between us. And, it's hard for me to comment. But, look, I think people can see all the different places where this could go. The one thing we're in all agreement on is we would like a win-win trade, a trade that helps the 76ers. It's most likely going to help Ben in his mind of what his goals are, and we'd like to accomplish that by the February 10th deadline. If we don't, then I think this foundation of dialogue we've established, we'll see if that can help us, you know, work through things if there isn't a trade, which still has a very good, like, trades are hard to do in this league. It takes two, right? And that's again why I feel the fans' frustration, like, just get a deal done. Well, it takes two sides, right? In this case, it's probably going to take three sides. It's probably going to take multiple teams. And whenever you're involving a big trade with multiple teams, the odds of those deals happening are just low. And so I think I feel the fans' frustration. Like, they went through so much pain to get Joel Embiid, a great player, to get Tobias Harris, to get Ben Simmons, to get this foundation that gave us a real chance last year, which we sort of blew and should have at least gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not farther. I feel that frustration. I know it. They went through so much to get these players together, and to have one of them say, I'd rather be somewhere else, that sucks. That sucks for everybody. But it's important that we deal with reality and, like, try and maximize from here.
I want to ask you this question just as a because now that you've had all these months to digest this thing, how did this thing with Ben unravel out of control? It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen in 30 years of covering sports in this city. So in looking back, now that you've had months past it, how do you believe it unraveled to this point?
It's very surprising to me and everybody. I think everyone needs to look in the mirror. I look at the mirror with myself. What could I have done better? Could I have established a better relationship with Ben? I would say yes. Everyone, I think, needs to look in the mirror and figure out how to do better, because this is not a good situation. We're all responsible on all sides. And I can't really tell you. I mean, you know, you'd probably have to have Ben on himself to have him explain it to you. I can't really tell you, like, it's obviously not something I understand, but it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Ben thinks. It matters how he's looking at it. And this is how he's looking at it. And, you know, all we can do is, you know, work through that, work with him, and try to get where we have the best chance to win the championship. But it's very surprising to me. I think, look, if you were to pull all 420 players in the league, I would say 370 of them would be dying to play for Joel Embiid and the 76ers. And the fact that we have a player who doesn't want to be on the 76ers is surprising to me, and it's frustrating. And I think everyone has to take some responsibility, including myself, for where we're at.
Listen, you've been around a lot of NBA players. As far as the narrative goes, it was triggered the Harden trade. He didn't like that. And then the comments by Doc and Joel Embiid. Is it that simple that he would go off because of that, or are we missing something?
I think there's been various reports of his issues. I can't reveal what he's said to us privately. It's not fair to him, but he like, does it really matter the reasons? It's frustrating, the reasons, but we just need to either correct those reasons, which so far we haven't been able to do, or make a trade. Those are really our two options, and so far I get the fans' frustration that we've not accomplished either. We've neither addressed his concerns, whether people agree with him or not. It's our mutual job with Ben to address those concerns or made a trade. We've done neither, so that's frustrating. I get it.
Is it beyond realism to think that he could ever play for you again?
I 100% believe he could play for us again, and he'd be literally almost the perfect player we could have to pair with Joel Embiid. People don't understand how much he impacted. I think they are, and I think that's why there's continued big trade interest in him. But it doesn't even take that difficult to look to say our defense goes from the best in the league to average, right? That's a massive part of the game. And Joel and Ben together always put together an elite defense. That is so important for playoff basketball. And he also covered up our rebounding has gone from 10th to near the bottom of the league. Ben Simmons was that the only difference between last year's team and this one is really Ben Simmons. We've had some really nice new players in Niang, and Maxey's taken a big step forward, and Drummond's added a lot. But the reality is the core of our team's the same, and it has a Ben Simmons hole in it. It really does.
Yeah, Bob, I guess what I'm asking you is, after all this, it can't possibly be realistic to think that we'd put your uniform on again.
I think he can. Obviously, I think you're right. The majority of people think that's not possible. Look, my job is to win the title. My job is to continue to try to make it where, you know, we either make the right trade or we somehow hurdle the issues that Ben has with playing here and get him back here.
All right, last question, and I really appreciate you spending so much time with me. And it's probably an unfair question that you won't answer. But people want to know, like, by the trading deadline, what kind of percentage do you think, with your instincts in this league, that you can make a deal that will help the Sixers go forward? What percentage? Is it 50-50? Is it 40-60? Is it 60-40? Where are you?
I think it's less likely than likely. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. Like, look, it won't be from lack of trying. We have a whole team of front office. It's all we do. We have no other job that matters. It's all we're working on. And I only say less likely. It won't be because we don't want to do it. It'll be because, for whatever reason, I mean, I can tell you that these other 29 teams, none of them wake up and say, hey, today, how can I help the 76ers get better? They all wake up worrying about their own team. So, like, the main reason I say less likely than likely is it takes two or three to tango, and trades are not easy to construct in this league. There's a lot of risk aversion. There's a lot of, like, you know, decision makers that have to be hurdled. It's very complex to put a deal together, and that always makes it less likely than likely to get a deal done.
Okay, so in any event, don't pay any attention to ballsack.com. That's what we're saying here.
I would implore people to ignore ball sack.
All right. Support. Darryl, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll talk down the road.
Thank you so much, Mike.
There he is. Darryl Morey. Well, less likely than likely.
I'm actually glad to hear that. Because I'm looking at the big fish in all season.
Jimmy.
Yep.
Jimmy H.
I want JH in town, and I'm willing to wait to get him because next year you can win a title.
All right. Well, listen, you heard what he had to say. How you feel about it? I know a lot of people hopeful that by the trading deadline something would happen. He didn't seem that optimistic. So we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show returns.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 334, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get a Twitter poll update brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com with Jennifer Squirto. Jen?
All right, with the Sixers not making a Simmons trade this year, be a waste of a great Embiid season? 46% right now say no, wait for the right deal. 54% say yes, do a deal.
Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, it is pretty close. You know, I was thinking that when you are as patient as Morey is, you got to have your ownership also as patient.
Right.
Because, you know, there's some owners who go, what are you doing? You know, we can't burn away a whole season here. So, like, you know, I'll give the ownership credit if they're not interfering in this process.
It doesn't appear that way. Now, Josh Harris seems like he doesn't seem like Lori. Where Lori likes to meddle and be in the room. I don't think Josh Harris wants to be in the draft room saying, well, what about this wing? Like Howie wants to do. So.
Well, listen. We'll see.
What do you think's going to happen?
I don't get the impression that anything's going to happen. I really don't. I think that we're going to have to accept what this year is, however optimistic we feel about him now. Because I'm kind of with you. In a seven-game series, I find it really difficult to think that they could beat Milwaukee or the Nets in four games. So
I don't think so.
It may be where you're just going to have to, you know, we have training and waiting, right?
Unfortunately.
We had to wait through a process.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have to condition ourselves to maybe wait till the offseason.
He also mentioned that he would be shocked if they didn't make some kind of trade.
Yeah.
I wonder what other kind of trade he would make. Because then you can get lucky. If you make a deal for a guy with upside, I wonder what his secondary move, what's position.
A 3 and D of some sort to play 20.
They badly need they need a wing that can actually make a 3.
Yeah.
Korkmaz hasn't, Thybul hasn't, Green's been hurt. A 3-man who can make a 3-pointer, I think would even if he was one-dimensional, I think would make a big difference.
Yeah, it would be
team.
A 20-25-minute guy could help you there.
Yeah.
You know?
Thybul then can play the other minutes, D-ing guys up, but then you put in somebody in the game who actually can shoot.
Yeah, he did sound like he was optimistic about that part of it, right?
Right, he did. Like, I think that's going to happen.
All right, let's go Caddy in North Philly. Caddy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Caddy? How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm doing good, man. I hear what Maury's saying, right? I love the Sacramento deal. But I know he can't say too much on the radio, but that deal makes the most sense to me because you say that you're giving them $70 million and you bring him back like $50 million. So if that deal don't work in the off season.
No, that doesn't alter the cap like you think it does. They're not going to be under the cap by that much. It doesn't work that way.
So listen, dude, if you make that deal, right, and you see how them guys play gel with Embiid, then in the offseason, if they give you two first-round draft picks, you could take Halliburton. You don't like the way Halliburton playing? You could trade him in the offseason. You could give a full draft pick, Halliburton. So you can shop them to Washington, you can shop them to Brooklyn for James Harden. All these dudes are opting out their contracts so you can do a sign and trade with these guys.
Well, so but you still have the Simmons piece that you can trade. So like you don't have to add parts so you can make another trade. I got the impression that he didn't think that was going to make them any better and, in fact, would make them worse. That's the impression that he wanted to give, that if you make a deal like that, then you're costing yourself more than you are gaining. Because there's not a star in there, right? You know? And so I get where you're going from, but when I threw that past him, I didn't get the impression that, because he countered with saying, when you make deals like that, you make yourself worse.
I mean, he can't come on the radio and say that now.
Well, I mean, you can read between the lines what he was thinking, though, what he said.
Sacramento got the leverage if they hear him saying that. Oh, well,
Sacramento's got the leverage. What leverage do they have?
If you get Murray on the thing saying he liked that deal, now they saying they want more stuff.
Who's saying they want more?
I'm just saying on the internet with these deals that they package.
He is saying if you don't make a great deal, you blur the lines even more. That's basically what he said to us. Sly in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sly.
Michael, what's up,
Sly? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Happy New Year to you. I ain't supposed to
you too,
y'all.
Buddy.
Yeah. A couple things I wanted to say. One, about Joel Embiid. Realistically, Ben Simmons being away is the best thing to happen to Joel Embiid. You do not see this Joel Embiid if Ben Simmons is there because he would have to defer to a lesser player. He's able to completely expand his game by not worrying about having to baby a guy who's not going to shoot or whatever. He got young guys who he tells stuff to, and they don't take it personally. You tell Maxey, yo, you got to shoot. You got to shoot the 3. Or you tell Thybul that. The guys, they don't take that as a negative. He's able to completely expand his game to a whole nother level.
That's a great observation. Now, the counter argument is, with that, they've become worse defensively and worse as a rebounding team.
Yeah, I agree with you in some respects, Mike, but it reminds me, and somebody said that, it's like allowing Elijah Wan to just do everything he needs to do and have everybody play off of him. This guy is a different guy. This is a different animal. We've never seen a player like him, the stuff that he's doing. And you asked about a guy being able to carry a team. He can carry this team. The thing is, I think if they make a trade, it has to be like Milwaukee getting Drew Holiday and substituting him for Eric Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need a superstar guy. You need a guy that can play off Joel Embiid and then play his role. If you don't trade Ben Simmons, that's the kind of trade you got
to
make.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, who would you trade to get that type of player, and who would that player be that would be that significant?
Yeah, and it's got to, well, that's up to Daryl Morey. That's his job.
Well, yeah, but it's also your job. You know the roster. So, like, you know, like, you can pretty much speculate, like, what would that cost if you know?
I understand what you're saying, Mike, but you got to find somebody, some team that's also looking to get rid of some people where they're not looking to really, mm-hmm. like, overly get a guy that they're not going to ask for the farm to get rid of a certain guy.
I got you. If it's less likely he's going to make the big deal at the trading deadline, then certainly adding someone who would help that we just talked about would enhance their chances, but also would still leave the possibility of making that deal in the offseason for a bigger fish like Harden. So we'll just have to see what happens. All right, coming up is What's Brewing with Jen, three stories that she's got brewing with her. That's coming up after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46, Mike Missinelli Show. At this time of the day on the Mike Missinelli Show, it is time for What's Brewing with Jen, as she goes around the world to find three interesting stories for discussion, brought to you by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, pick your day to score free medium hot coffee one time per week. It's valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. What do we got today, Jen?
All right, I have two stories and an update story.
All right.
Oh, yes. Today is National Cheese Lovers Day. I love cheese. And evidently, it has been researched and proven that playing hip-hop music while making cheese has a positive effect on the taste. So this is how they did it. 9 wheels of the same cheese were placed in separate wooden crates and exposed to various musical genres. The cheese that was exposed to songs by A Tribe Called Quest was later identified as fruitier and tastier than cheese that was exposed to Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
In the aging process,
aging the cheese, yes. Isn't that funny? I thought it was great.
It's hysterical.
The taste tester said that, like, the differences were far and beyond, like, very clear. That, like, texture, taste, appearance, everything was just different in the cheese that...
So which the wheels that we see on the Cheez-It commercial that are in the football players, what do you think?
That's fresh cheese. That's not aged.
Oh, it's not aged?
No, that's just...
But that's what they say in the commercial.
Cheese like, wheels?
Yeah. They're lying.
Well, which would
like
they be? Would they be,
cheese
would they be the Quest cheese wheels, or would they be Led Zeppelin cheese?
Cheez-It Zeppelin.
Yeah, probably, even though I love me a Cheez-It. I eat them every day, literally, but I would go Zeppelin.
Well, I got no problem with that story. I'm a big Tribe fan.
It's also been proven that cheese can be as addicting as drugs. So think of that here on this National Cheese Day. Yes.
It's National Cheese Day.
Yeah, it's National Cheese Lovers Day.
See,
gotta love it.
Got a lot of days now.
Yeah,
used to be like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Flag Day. Memorial Day, Labor Day.
Yeah, it was Popcorn Day yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Every day's a day.
Well, here's the question I got to ask you. I'm not a big cheese man.
No?
No. I mean,
an Italian?
Parmesan on a pasta is a little different, and Parmesan Reggiano sliced in a salad is a different thing. But like a plate of cheese is put in front of you, and there's half pepperoni, half cheese. What's your first snatch?
I go one piece of pepperoni with a piece of cheese on it.
If you only can take one, what's your first snatch?
Pepperoni.
I would always go with the cheese.
You would? Well, because
I'm saying
when you
before.
Were eating meat, you would always go cheese first?
Yeah, but I eat a cracker and the cheese, and then I would do the pepperoni on top.
Yeah. You can't beat that combo.
No.
But I'm just saying, if you can only take one, I'm always going for the meat.
Me too. All right, so. Speechless Tyrone. All right, story number two.
Trying to mark the time then.
Imagine boarding an international flight from London to Orlando and then realizing that you are going to be the one and only passenger on the entire flight. It happened to a gentleman named Kai Forsythe. He, of course, shared his experience on TikTok. He posted pictures of all the other empty seats. The entire plane was empty except for him. And so, therefore, the crew waited on him hand and foot, gave him all the food he wanted, let him hang out and do whatever he wanted.
That's my dream.
That thing is everybody's dream.
That's my dream.
Wouldn't they cancel that flight? They wouldn't just, go forward with it, would they?
There is something, there's something logistically that needed to happen. The flight had that particular airplane had to get from London to Orlando. Okay.
Pilots and planes. So if that plane or that pilot has to be a certain place,
they gotta go.
They're going no matter what.
Wow.
It's when it gets canceled. It's when that plane and that pilot doesn't need to be anywhere. Then you're screwed.
Yeah,
I guess he got a first class upgrade.
He was not allowed to go in first class.
Come on!
I know there was some weird rule where they wouldn't let him in first class. I don't know if it was a weight shifting thing. I don't know. You know how sometimes they shift you around in the plane if there's a weight problem.
Yeah. He probably got an exit row.
Yeah,
so he can have some leg.
Oh yeah, they let him lounge in the chairs, put the armrest up, and they gave him all the food and all the drinks that he wanted.
That'd be great.
It would. Yeah. It's an 8.5 hour flight. I mean, that would be awesome.
That means I could take a full nap.
Oh, he. He basically was in bed.
You still can't get first class on an 8-hour flight when there's nobody there?
There's definitely a reason why. All right, so here's the update on my story. A couple of days ago, I guess it was last week, I told you about the Chinese couple that went on the blind first date, and they ended up getting stuck in his apartment together because of mandatory lockdown. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what?
They fell for each other.
They're engaged.
See what I'm talking about, Tyrone?
You were right. You were right.
Well, you said they'll get to know each other better.
That's right. And they did. And because of that, they got engaged.
But remember, she said he thought he was really boring.
Yeah.
But,
he needed time.
He needed some time.
I think that she realized how limited her options are going to be when she gets back to the outside world. But
maybe
that is one thing that's consistent with men. Now, don't be a stalker. Don't ever do that ever, ever, ever. But if a woman's giving you half energy and not pushing you away, usually you can wear her down.
Oh, yeah.
If she didn't push you, because a woman will make it very clear when she doesn't want to be around you, then stay away, stay far away.
Yes.
But if she's halfway, you can always wear a woman down.
Guy made a bad first impression.
I agree.
Would have been out the gate if it wasn't that situation.
Yes.
And because of that situation, she got to know him as a real person.
And his parents were living in the apartment with them the entire time. So this is solid. She's already gotten to the parents and everything.
Also, she couldn't say no.
That's an awesome story. Right.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that great?
No, it's
not.
I like
you're not too. Looking at the sinister stuff, Simon. They're locked down.
You're not going to take my romance away from me.
That's not romance. So
he
proposes in front of her parents. Did he ask her dad?
I don't know.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if I know somebody where this happened. Where they went on this vacation out on a boat, a big yacht thing, because these people had some couple dollars.
Uh-huh.
And they're out at sea. And his family's all there and her. And he proposed on the boat with the whole family there and just her.
She could not say no.
Ends up getting married because she was engaged.
Didn't like
2 years later,
done.
Not only divorced, she hates his guts.
Oh, no.
Because it turns out he's a manipulative guy because he proposed to her under those pretenses.
Yeah.
That guy, that's not going to last.
Oh, I hope it does.
I don't know. She had a choice there.
No, she didn't.
I understand the pressure. But
she can't say
you can still say no.
No, you can't.
Let me think about it when we get back on land.
Hold on. No. And then, okay.
No, she couldn't say no in that situation.
This is shocking. Let me think about it when we get back on land.
No, you can't say that.
So you're going to spend a week with the whole family. No. They're all there for the proposal after you say no.
That's trickery.
It is.
She should take the dinghy and go back to, get out of there off that yacht.
I don't think she could have said no.
All right.
When she gets back, she could say, now I've thought about it.
That's what's brewing.
Well, in the ocean.
It's brought to you by Dunkin'. Always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, pick your day. Score free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations. For a limited time, exclusions apply. All right, the 4 o'clock hour, headed by Hembo. We didn't think we're going to see Hembo again. But he's got some great stats that wrap up the season.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
That's coming up after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, we had not talked about the Eagles today. Refreshing, actually. But we're going to get back into it in this hour because the man who brings us the stats every week, and as we lead into games, and he's always got pertinent analytical information, we're going to wrap up the season with a little good and bad analysis via the numbers. So let's welcome in again for one last time this season, the great Paul Hembakidis. We know him as Hembo, content producer for the ESPN morning show, Get Up Maestro, the song.
He's not stats you need to know. He's H-E-M-B-O, Hembo.
Oh, yes. Without further ado, here he is, Hembo. Hello, Hembo.
Mikey Miss, I have to admit, I am still licking my wounds after picking the Eagles to cover the number last weekend and telling all my friends on the national shows that we are being underestimated. But I suppose a lot of us felt that way. And if I knew they need someone to return punts, I would have offered my services.
Yeah, my numbers analysis was simple. I picked Tampa Bay to cover. So all right. So let's look at these numbers. First of all, let's start with Jalen Hurts. I want to start with Jalen because yesterday, obviously, he was a big topic of conversation as the general manager and head coach met with the media. So let's talk about the good and the bad of Jalen Hurts. Start off with the good, Hembo.
Mikey Miss, during the regular season, there were 148 instances of a quarterback targeting a pass catcher at least 40 times. So using yards per attempt as our number here, Hurts to Quez Watkins ranked 6th, Hurts to Dallas Goedert ranked 7th, and Hurts to Devontae Smith ranked 25th. Again, that's out of 148 combos. When Jalen targeted any of those three players, his QBR, that scaled 0 to 100, was 85. That's an astronomical number. But Mike, when he targeted any other player on the team, the QBR went from 85 to 31. So there are two, I think, fairly obvious takeaways from that set of numbers. The first of which is the target share for those three players should have been and should be in the future considerably higher than 52%. And secondly, and perhaps even more obviously, this team just needs more depth at the skill positions and, in my judgment, preferably veteran depth at those spots.
Yeah, it hurts Devontae Smith ranking 25th. It stuck out to me. I think that's got to be a better number.
Well, yeah, sure, but again, we're talking about 145 such combos, so even though he wasn't quite as effective targeting Devontae Smith, those are still really, really good numbers. I have in front of me, Mike, a handful of names. I just want to run past you quickly, and I want you to tell me if any of them move the needle for you. I'll start with the free agents, and those being Allen Robinson, Mike Williams, and Christian Kirk. Do any of those three players move the needle for you as free agent wide receiver?
Yeah, Robinson certainly does.
He's a stud, right?
A veteran receiver that they could pair. I think that'd be perfect for him.
I've identified four guys potentially available in the trade market. Those guys, these would cost probably reasonably high draft picks. They're DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, Brandon Cooks, and Adam Thielen. Amongst those four guys, do any of those four?
Are they gonna chase DK Metcalf?
I just want to see a shirtless picture of DK.
Whiteside.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, maybe they were catching up. It's like chasing Russell Wilson as the white whale. So yes,
I subscribe to the notion of sort of building your receiving core like a basketball team. I want guys with different sizes, guys with different skill sets. The Eagles, we know, have not done a good job of identifying, especially big players that can play the position effectively. What those numbers tell me is that there are three guys on this roster right now that can be high-volume pass catchers for Jalen Hurts, but there are only three guys, and they need at least two more.
Okay, let's go now with Jalen Hurts, the bad.
This is especially bad. So I've obviously heard a lot of people suggest that he improved considerably as a passer this season. And I've said it in the past too, but like in my research, Mike, it's really not supported by the facts. Here's where I'll go with this, okay? So last year as a rookie, he posted, again, this is 0 to 100, he posted a QBR of 38. That's on all throws from the pocket. 38 out of 100. That's well below average. This season, that number climbed all the way to 39.
Oh.
Every year, an improvement of literally
39, 1%. In case you painted out.
This is a low number, and I can contextualize that because that stat for us goes back 15 years now. So I pulled up the list, Mike, of pocket performance the same way I did for Jalen Hurts through 20 starts, which is where he is at his career right now, okay?
Yeah.
Mike, the only quarterbacks on that list, a lengthy list, with a lower figure are Brandon Whedon, Shane Gabbert, Blake Bortles. That is the company he's keeping as a pocket passer.
Ew. Well, you see, this is what, this is the, like, the big thing that we discuss, and whether he's good enough to get it done, and this is all about arm talent from the pocket. And so, okay, there are interesting numbers here. Let's go to another area with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
The good of the defense.
Yeah, this is a silver lining of the season that we shouldn't overlook. We know that they prioritized big play avoidance this season, and they at minimum did get that right, Mike. They set a franchise record for fewest yards per completion and allowed only 38 explosive pass plays in 17 games. That was the fewest in their conference.
Yeah, because they played 47 yards back. No, I'm just kidding.
That's exactly where I'm going next.
Okay, go ahead.
Mike, their coverage philosophy, you see it with your eyes, and it's supported by the numbers, did not allow the pass rush to flourish. So this is crazy. We ranked the Eagles this year fourth in the league in pass rush win rate. They rank 31st in sacks and 31st in sack rate. So I think you and I agree that preventing big plays is valuable, but they compromised so much that they essentially nullified an outstanding year from a fairly injured defensive line.
That's an interesting number. All right, so let's look at what their obvious carryover strength would be, and they could even enhance that in the draft. The offensive line and how it could be good next year. Also, if things, you know, rock right, if the center stays, a lot of things would have to happen. But they're pretty solid there, right?
I think it's reason for a lot of optimism, regardless of how you feel about the rest of the offense, because the quartet of Mailata, Dickerson, Kelsey, and Johnson, those guys played 543 snaps together this season. That was about half their total. The Eagles' output, Mike, on those snaps was elite. And you can adjust this for the quality of opposing defenses. It was flat out elite, however you want to measure it. Their success rate per play, over 50%, 51% on those 543 snaps. The only team to hit that number this season were the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Obviously, it's very difficult after that last game to look at the offensive line, to look at the offense with rose-colored glasses and feel good about it. But we're talking about more than 500 snaps of elite. Like, we're talking about proficient offense with, as I described earlier, a very compromised quarterback from the pocket. So, yeah, Kelsey returning is huge. The carryover and health of that offensive line is huge. But in my judgment, that was the single biggest reason they won a Super Bowl in 2017. And they have the foundation of a really good one next year, so long as Kelsey returns.
All right, let's end it with this, because here's the optimism. The draft. 15, 16, and 19. Now, to me, that's the Howie Roseman danger zone. But let's look at the good of that, because there is a very interesting stat. They made the playoffs, all right, and I know why they made the playoffs, but they were a playoff team, so this is why the stat qualifies, right?
Yes. And I will also further contextualize it, even if you're not quite a believer in this team being a playoff team. So they are scheduled for a historical rarity in this case. There's only been one team, in the common draft era that has made three picks in the top 20 a season after making the playoffs, as the Eagles did and as the Eagles are scheduled to do. That team, you have to go way back. That team was the Rams in 1975. That was in the midst of eight consecutive playoff seasons for that team. Now, I'll expand this to include other teams, not just ones that made the playoffs. Including that Rams team, Mike, each of the last four teams that made three picks in the top 20 increased their win total year over year, and three of those four teams improved by multiple games. The 1991 Cowboys improved by 7. The 2000 Jets improved by 1. I mentioned the 1975 Rams. They improved from 10 wins to 12 wins. And way back, the 1973 Patriots increased their win total by 2 as well. So we're talking about a very small subset of history. But history does say that if you can make this many picks this high in the draft, not surprisingly, your team's likely to get a good bit better.
So history suggests that there'll be at least 11-6 next year.
I would like to think so. And I'd be curious before you let me go. I see all sorts of people in these mock drafts, and I'm obsessed with mock drafts, prioritizing the front seven for this team. But after those numbers I just read off about the secondary, in my opinion, the Eagles would be best off prioritizing corner and safety early in the first round of the draft, because I've done all this research, and I won't bore you with the details. But it is my steadfast belief that pass coverage is more important than pass rush. How would you feel about the Eagles prioritizing defensive back in the first round?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. Now, it's not going to, it could happen. They could grab a corner. The mock drafts have them grabbing that corner from Clemson. So, okay with that.
And generally speaking, my last point will be this. Whether or not we want to believe Howie at face value when he spoke yesterday about Jalen Hurts, to me, is immaterial. It's not his job to tell us the truth. It's his job to
lie.
Do it in the best interest of the organization. Correct.
Exactly.
It would be a dereliction of duty if he did not at least strongly consider drafting a quarterback in round one. That is my opinion. And when you look at the fact that you have three opportunities, the best way to win the lottery as quarterback is to buy multiple lottery tickets. This is a quarterback-rich draft, even though none of those guys are, studs. But given the contract that Jalen Hurts is playing under, and given the fact that they have this opportunity to improve their roster so much and stash a quarterback.
You're saying quarterback?
Quarterback.
Thought you were saying cornerback.
QB. But there are five quarterbacks that could go in the first round this year. Sorry, QB. I don't look, we know what it's like in this town to put all of our eggs in the basket of one quarterback. And Carson Wentz was much more of a sure thing when the Eagles elected to do that than Jalen Hurts is now. In my judgment, it would be foolish not to spend one of these first-round picks on a quarterback, even if you stash him for 2 years. The quarterbacks are such valuable assets in the game today, and a first-round quarterback is the best. It's the single best thing you can have in the NFL because they're so incredibly cheap. The only thing better than having a good one is having a good one.
Well, that's interesting. Well, we'll see if they do that.
And I'm a Jalen Hurts guy, but I also believe in the data. There's no way you can convince me the Eagles can win a Super Bowl with a quarterback that, compares in the pocket to those players I described earlier.
All right. Hembo, good stuff. We really appreciate your end-of-year wrap.
Yeah, man, it was fun.
All right, buddy.
Good man.
Thanks, Hembo.
Good talking to you, Hembo. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Hembosaurus. Oh, yes.
Did you just call him the Hembosaurus?
The Hembosaurus.
I love that.
Yes.
Look at that.
I like it.
All right, that's good stuff.
That is good stuff. And that, now when I live tweet when Hembo has his nuggets, and the quarterback one to me was significant. Same thing. Yeah. I also did the win rate, so I'm not picking on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I also tweeted out the defensive line win rate versus how many sacks they had and all that stuff. But that's the concern that when we're talking Sixers today, when Eagles come back up, I would like the Hurts people to speak on that part.
Well, see, that's the flabbergasting thing to me, that there is this notion that he improved a great deal. I thought he improved a little bit, but not to the extent where I'm comfortable. And those numbers, like the QBR went up 1 point
from the pocket.
Right.
And he made better throws on the move, but your bread is, and we're going to watch these games this weekend, you're going to see that the bread is buttered for the majority of the plays from the pocket, and then you get the splash play in addition to. Like, Mahomes is going to make the most of his work in the pocket. And then a couple of throws, he's going to go outside the pocket and do something special. But most of his money's going to be earned with the five-step, seven-step drop, putting his foot in the ground and releasing the ball on time. Mm-hmm. That's how all these court borrow. That's what they're all going to do. Even Tannehill, that's what he's going to do. And I would have liked to seen Jalen Hurts do that more. And that's where he has to improve. And people don't even want to acknowledge it. It's just, he just got better. He's fine.
All right. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll talk to Anthony at Atlantic City. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and I really want to thank the gentleman, because I've been on hold for an hour and a half. Who's the guy that picks up and lets you know?
That's Mike.
Uh, I'm like, you're Mike.
I'm Mike, but the guy answering the phone, our screener?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his name's Mike.
God bless you, Mike. You're a great guy. And everybody else there, too. You guys are great. But I just wanted to, it's funny because I was called during the discussion about Matisse and et cetera and then Ben Simmons and blah, blah, blah. And I just, Daryl Moore, he sounded like a genius. He said everything that I wanted to say. So I just want to expand upon a couple of things. Number one is that he clearly said Simmons is the best person to fill this role. Also, the bigger point is, he talked about how Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid create a headache on the defensive end. Is that not true? No, it is true. Now, imagine the tandem of Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, and Joel Embiid.
We've already seen that. It didn't work. Well, it didn't work for a number of reasons. It might be obvious that Ben makes this a better team. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, so I don't even know why we're even thinking about it.
Well, because there's some miracle that you hope for.
There's no miracle. There's no way that's going to happen. He knows it. He's just not going to say it.
All right, let me get to number two.
All right.
What do you think about doubling up on the big get man game in the event that, if you go old school, I think it would be beneficial to have a third big man. In my vision, DeMarcus Cousins. Nobody is signing him. So if Embiid goes down, God forbid.
Well, what big man is going to make an Embiid impact? What's the difference?
I'm saying somebody it's literally insurance.
Insurance for what? They can't win. They can't win if he gets hurt.
If Embiid gets hurt.
Well, they can't win anyway. They can't win. There's nobody out there that's going to make them good enough to win without Embiid.
No, I'm not. You keep Embiid. You listen, my whole thing, Jack. You said
if Embiid gets hurt.
We get another big man. Double down on the big man game.
Why? You can't play with two big men. Listen, they've experimented at
times. I would say no. I would say no. I would say no.
Well, I got to say this. Even Mark Appleton.
Are we back to Tony Bradleyville here?
Are
you kidding me? Double down on the because Embiid is hurt. If Embiid is hurt, you're done. Well, you're not going to get rescue anybody here.
This is the same thing we explained. You should keep Tony Bradley just in case. So then you have Dwight and you have Bradley.
You got to be kidding me.
You can't win.
The guy's the most dominant player. He's got to carry them on his shoulders right now. If he's done, they're done.
Exactly. They're fine with a backup. And they like, as a developmental center, so far Doc has shown, he put Paul Reed down in the G League. He prefers Charles Bassey. He's trying to develop him. That's what they're doing. They have two veterans, one a superstar, one a guy who's been around the block, and then they have one young guy. Why do you need a fourth center?
Apparently Elijah Wan's available, and you can grab him if Embiid gets hurt. What are you talking about? What players are you talking about? We'll play it at Embiid level.
And the player that he wants to use for injury insurance is DeMarcus Cousins, who's always hurt.
That doesn't work out.
That the reason that he's available is because he's had an Achilles, he's had a knee, he's had a million injuries. So your injury insurance is a guy more injured than Embiid.
The caller had good intentions. He was just slightly misguided. All right, let's go Brandon in Philly. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brandon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Brandon?
As far as the Sixers, I feel real sad that I feel like we're wasting Embiid. But I'm just not, I guess the Philly in me, I'm not willing to give up Simmons for anything. You know what I mean? If he doesn't want to be here, that's fine, but we got to do what's best for us. So I keep him until something better comes along.
Yeah, you're going to have to accept that part of it. And there are a lot of people that don't want to accept it, but it is the reality of what they're thinking.
Right. And as far as the Eagles thing, listen, I believe in Jalen Hurts, but if he is the same player he is today, next season, then it's time to move on. And I'm not saying he can't get better later in his career, but the question is, can he get better by next season to where he can be a solid NFL passer? That's the issue. And I even though I'm a fan of his, I don't have the answer to that. But more importantly, I feel like ever since the minute he was drafted, a good majority of the people that don't like him, not all, but a good majority of the people that don't like him, just don't like him because they feel like he's the reason Carson Wentz isn't here.
I think we're past the Wentz thing. Wentz turned out to be not a bargain, so I think we're past that whole thing. Nobody is yearning for Wentz anymore. But the Hurts thing is interesting because what he said was like next year, if you test it next year, you think he's going to be the same thing. That's why it's so important for them to make their decision now, because if they go into next year with him and they have passed up a potential trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson or whatever, then, you know, they'll have to wait till the next year. If you make that decision now and you can better that position now, you're going to be more optimistic for success next year.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. So let's, speaking of Hurts, we just heard some stats. We just heard an evaluation from the caller. Let's go back to yesterday, what the head coach, Nick Sirianni, had to say about Hurts' season.
You take into account the whole body of work, right? And you don't, you know, like, you don't just count Jalen's game against the Giants, as we all know that we've already discussed what we felt like and what he felt like of how we played in that game. You take into account the entire body of work, and so you know, I'm pleased with the way he developed as a passer, as a quarterback. I think, again, we've seen so many things that he got better at, you know, and that goes into, you know, Jalen, first and foremost, Jalen and the football character that he has, the desire and the want to of how badly this guy wants to be a elite player in this league.
All right. Well, I didn't think he got that much better, at least throwing the football. And that's the most important thing here. And we had some numbers that would indicate that. So, I don't know. Listen, they're football people. They can't be thinking that they're totally satisfied.
So that's bull feathers for you?
I think that would be bull feathers.
Yeah,
and not the truth.
I do think he really likes them. I think they have a connection. But I still think, and I think they probably think he's going to be back, because I don't think they think they can acquire someone.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're 100% pleased either.
I agree with that.
You know, there are football people that are experts in watching football. We're schmoes.
Yes.
Right? We look at it and we have certain expertise that we think we see. Those guys are supposed to have more trained eyes than we see. And if our conclusion is that he really suffered throwing the football, I would assume their trained eyeballs would come up with deeper analysis of that.
Yeah. You're all right. But all coaches, even him, Jolly Charlie, do have egos. And many a times they think, I can fix a player if they like the player.
Yeah.
Look at Frank Reich. He thought he could fix Wentz because he
absolutely
likes him.
Absolutely right.
They have a good connection. He couldn't fix him. And I bet you, because him and Jalen probably have a rapport now, it's hard to not like Jalen Hurts. Like, I don't think you can meet him and probably not like him.
Yeah.
I do think he probably will fight for him because he probably thinks he can correct the mistakes.
I hope he also can interject some supersonic throwing juice into his arm.
That he cannot do.
So that would be really
That's hard. A little harder.
Yeah. Take a break. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Twitter poll update. I believe there's been a shift in the Twitter poll numbers. Oh, my gosh. It rarely happens that way at 4:30. Our Twitter poll update is brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com with Jennifer Scordo. Jen.
All right. With the Sixers not making it a Simmons trade this year, be a waste of a great Embiid season. Right now, 49% say no, wait for the right deal. 51, yes, do a deal.
Oh! Right.
And well over 1,000 votes now, so that like doubled.
It has shifted a little bit.
Just a little, but it's close.
Oh, man, let me read this email I got here. Not fond of Maury. Jeff writes in and says, let's see, where he said he tipped his hand in, and he's condescending. He tipped his hand in saying that there is a deal with the Kings that works, and the more he talks, the less I like him. He seems very condescending.
What?
He said, I thought he was like really honest.
Right, and what he meant was, he said if the Kings called with a certain offer, he would do it. That doesn't mean the offer that's rumored is that offer. He's saying that the Kings have stuff that he would like. Yeah. If the Kings offered enough stuff, how do you know that what he's talking about is the Kings always stink? What if he's saying, I want two or three unprotected first round picks, and they have them because they are. We don't know. So he didn't tip his hand. All he said was, is the King. And first of all, the Kings do have players that would be interesting and assets that would be interesting because they have all their picks.
This is Nick from Elkins Park. Nick says he completely showed his hand when he said there is a trade with the Kings that makes sense. And not for nothing, the more this guy talks, the less I like him. He is incredibly condescending. That deal is a must with the Kings if it's real.
What?
Well, that's what Nick says.
He also said, because if you listen closely, that he thought there was maybe a deal possible for like 27 teams.
Yes,
he if did. They offered what he liked.
Right.
What he's saying is, he probably is saying the Bucks, the Nets, he's saying the Phoenix, there's probably a few teams where it's out. But everybody else, if they make a phone call and he likes what he hears, he'd do it.
Yeah, if you missed the interview we did with Daryl, we're going to replay some of it at about 5:10. So if you're still in the car or if you get home early, flip us on and you'll hear what Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations, the Sixers, had to say today as we get nearer the trading deadline. So I was just out in the hallway, made a little coffee run. I saw one of our great engineers, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, we love Rob.
Rob's a great man, and he's pushing around this this big wheel, this wheelbarrow type of structure, loaded with wire.
Oh,
and he goes, is that from yesterday? He goes, well, you wouldn't believe, because we had a problem yesterday with our internet. Mm-hmm. He goes, you wouldn't believe, we pulled out like miles of wire, and it's all in this bin. I go, what do you do with it? And he goes, we take it to this company. We get cash on the pound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like copper wire, and I immediately thought of bubbles from the wire because that's what bubbles did.
Yeah. Well,
in a lot of ways, we're like bubbles.
Oh.
Like, you know, bubbles were scouring the streets of Bmore for some scrap metal that he could sell on the pound, like 30 cents a pound.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what we do here.
Well, Bubbles was technically stealing, though, wasn't he?
Well,
he was taking it from abandoned
hours.
He was stealing a little, but sometimes he was just taking it from
pile.
Sites. Scrap sites.
Right, but that still wasn't his. So, you know.
We turn it over like bubbles here.
Yes, we are. They have to. It's going to end up, I think yesterday's going to end up being a blessing in disguise in the long run.
Yeah, you think so? Because we have reformed our whole system now because of that?
They didn't have a choice. But more, I think some of the things that led to them having to do all that work, I don't think that's going to happen again.
They do not want that to happen again.
Yeah. Huh?
So it's above them. I believe that they're not going to have to do that again for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm. The internet was out from 9 to 5:45 yesterday. That's 9 a.m. to like 5:45.
So now they're going to make sure that, and it wasn't just us. Apparently, we were actually better off than some of the stations.
Really?
And you know what happens when the music stations get angry around here.
They don't like it.
They don't play games when the music stations were much angrier than us.
That's true. Anyway, Rob was doing that himself. The Bubbles had a couple partners. They first said, the white boy Johnny was his first partner. And then he tried to school Sherrod later on.
But it's tough.
That didn't work out.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Malik in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Malik.
Mikey Mesh, what's going on?
What's going on, Malik?
How you feel?
Good.
Two quick takes, one on the Sixers and one on Jalen Hurts.
Yes, sir.
Daryl Morey, this is probably the smartest thing I've heard him say since he got here. There's no reason to trade Ben Simmons and invoke a chemistry, let's say, shakeup. Because once you do that, like you said, you destroy this season, you destroy, you know, next season possibly, because you done took the core of your team and traded them possibly.
Well, you flip the core. I mean, this is a player that's not going to be with you anyway. So, like, what are you trading? What core?
If the rumors are correct and Tobias is in the trade and then possibly Matisse also, that's taking a nice big part of your defensive core. Your team.
Yeah, if that deal is the deal. And maybe it's not the deal. I don't know. But you see, like, here's the thing. They're a little bit trapped now because Embiid has shown he can maybe carry them to heights greater than they thought, right? But before this notion that you knew they were short, you knew they had to add something, right?
They need something. They can take a second-tier player. If they can pick somebody up on a waiver wire that's coming up.
But that's not going to do anything for them. What's that going to do? A waiver wire player is not going to make them Eastern Conference champions.
I mean, you seen what happened when they signed Marco Bellinelli. He added to it. He helped.
Yeah, but that was a better team all around.
True, you are. That is true. That's true. And something real quick on Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
great leader, no arm talent. He wasn't arm talent when he was in college. He only went as high as he went because he ran for, I think it was 27 touchdowns and won the Heisman that year. And we won't see the best of Jalen Hurts for at least another 2 to 3 years.
See, I would say this, that arm talent is a better leader than personality is.
Yes.
So the notion that he's a leader doesn't mean that much to me.
It doesn't mean that much, but still he still is a great leader, you know, to have. But the arm talent in a passing league is what's going to win out, and he wasn't that in college.
Yeah, all right, I got you. It doesn't look to me. You know, arm talent is the leader. That's as simple as that. He's got a good personality. Good, that's all well and good. Arm talent leads. I got a guy over here, maybe he's not nice. He's got arm talent, you know?
Somebody brought this up yesterday. Dave Zangaro brought it up. Tuesday, how normally what happens is a quarterback has the arm talent and he has to learn to be a leader because that's something you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
In Hurts' case, he's already an excellent leader.
Yeah,
but can he learn the throwing part of it? And generally, what coaches want and general managers want is get him the talent, and they check the mental if he's a mental midget or head case. And, you know, that's the word that they would use, by the way, not my word. That's the word they would use. Then you can't use him. But if you think he can grow mentally, then you go with it because the physical tools that they have, that's what they usually do.
Exactly. I'm trying to think. I don't have all these in my head, but I can think of one guy who had arm talent who wasn't a leader and hurt his team, and that was that Jeff George. That was an arm talent guy with no leadership skills at all.
At all.
But normally it's the arm talent that makes the plays that lead. The plays that succeed are made with the arm talent, and that itself is a leader.
Usually.
Yeah.
And it comes hand in hand. Because if you're the best player, they look to you. Like Joel Embiid wasn't a natural leader. He was goofing around too much maybe before. Yeah. But now that he's really balling out, look who everybody on the team looks to. He's clearly the leader.
Yes.
Because he's the best player. Now, will Hurts ever be the best player on an offense?
Yeah. See, when you deliver, you're a leader.
Yes.
To me, that's the essence of leadership in pro sports.
Right.
Jeff in South Philly. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, Jen? What's up, Tyrone? And with Mike, man, you always going at it, so I'm going to give you the Seinfeld. Hello, Michael. Anyway, so I got an Eagles point and a Sixers point.
Okay.
The Eagles point is just what I would like them to do is just who am I to? I think they need to give Jalen one more season, see what's going on. But they need to they only need to draft another quarterback and none of that. I would say they need a pass rusher, and I would say they would need a cornerback and not the little puny little short little guys. I'm talking about 6'5", 200-pound beast with speed, okay?
You'll never find a cornerback at 6'5", 200 pounds.
I'm just saying, I've been looking on the internet, and I've been seeing safeties there.
Safeties are a little bigger, not a cornerback.
All right, well, they need to do something.
Notre Dame kid is like the biggest safety to come down the pike in a really long time.
Well, they need to find the biggest one they can get and put them back there. Right, and then I would say we need another receiver, another 6'5" big guy that that can catch the ball. And maybe he can help out on the tight end end. But, you know, like a T.O. type, you know, we need somebody that's going to really get what I mean. I'm in the size. I'm not into that little thing. You know what I mean?
Can tell you're in this size.
Right. Size matters. You know what I mean? So now, all right, now my sixth point.
Yes.
Okay. I like everything you said today. I was impressed with all your questions. For the first time, I'm really like, damn, I was really applauding everything you were saying.
Well, normally you're not.
I mean, sometimes you leave a lot of things off and you're a little biased, but today, you know what I mean? You hit it right on.
Biased. The last thing I was biased. I'm the absolute opposite way.
Well, I mean, if you, like, in other words, you want Simmons out of town. So that's your bias. You want him out
of town. No, it's realistic. It's not bias. It's over. He cannot come back here.
I understand. I'm not here to dispute that, but what I'm saying is they don't want to get rid of him.
Of course they want to get rid of him. They're just playing a game. They know they can't welcome him back. And Darryl Morey said 100%. What's he going to say? No? Of course he's got to say that. There's no possible logical way that man could ever play for the Sixers again. It would not work ever.
No.
Although, it would be really fun for us.
Yes, it would. Man, would that be a good show.
I mean, I want him to. Hey, Ben, let it go, buddy. Friday against the Clippers. Come on, buddy. Come out there. Give him 10 minutes.
Suit up, bud.
I would
Suit
love
up.
It tomorrow.
I think the guy's a rat. He's the biggest rat that was ever come through this town, this sports town. He blew up an entire season.
Correct.
So, do I want him gone? Yes, I do. At the same time, I don't want him to just give him away. So, I'm behind Daryl Morey and what his thought process is here. Quick break and back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.47 Mike Vassell Show. First time all day long. We've been busy. We have an open line at last here for you at 610-622-0975. Plenty left to this program. And if you didn't hear Daryl Morey, we're going to replay a little of it at 510. So stay tuned for that. We'll go to Guy in Pottstown. Guy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Guy.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mike, for letting me in.
What's up, buddy?
I had an interesting take on Daryl Morey. He said it didn't take him long to say this. He said he was a historian of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went back to 1983. All right, we had a point guard that didn't shoot very often, and they went all the way to the world champions. All right, that being Maurice Cheeks. All right, I don't think they want to get rid of Ben Simmons.
Maurice Cheeks made jump shots. He made jump shots. He actually perfected like foul line length, intermediate length jump shots. And not only that, but they had a great team.
Well, this team is eerily similar to
it's
that.
Not, it's not similar at all.
You don't think?
How is it similar? They had scorers on that team in 85.
Other than Tony and Doc. They were the scorers in Moses.
Oh, other than three starters, yeah. What are you talking about? They were great at every position. It might be the best team in NBA history.
I just think that if we bring Ben Simmons back into the fold, they go to the Eastern Conference Final easily.
Not going to happen. Why do you keep going down this route? What's going to change? What did he do last year that they were so special with Ben, they couldn't get past Atlanta? What makes you think if he returns that all of a sudden magic is going to happen with him and the same problems aren't going to bog them down with him not being able to shoot?
Well, that's the challenge, Blake. I think we change the narrative. We change
you're wishing on a star. Like, what's going to be different? He hasn't even played basketball. What is he going to do? He's going to come on the floor, make shots, to go crazy?
I would love to see it happen, that's all.
It's because you're curious, but you know, come on, man. You know that would not happen.
I don't think they want to get rid of him, Mike. I just don't think it.
Believe me when I tell you, they would love to get rid of him. Love. They're salivating to get rid of him.
Correct.
He said that 100% he thinks they can come back. That's a stone lie. General managers sometimes lie.
Yeah.
They know he can't come back.
Man, that's a shame.
The only thing they might entertain is he comes back, but it's not enough time now before the trading deadline. The notion was he comes back, he plays a little bit, people, you know, get acclimated with his skills, and then you can trade him. But that's too late for that now. So you're going to bring him back after the trading deadline? And all of a sudden magic's going to happen? Is that what we're talking about here?
No, I think what would happen is if he was to come back, you would win more games in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the playoffs, we know what would happen. But hopefully by playing some basketball, another team would say, well, I can fix him. Mm-hmm. It's harder to fix a quitter than a bad basketball player. And right now he's just a straight quitter.
Yeah.
It's true.
He has no desire to be on a basketball floor. Think about that. The love of the sport that he's supposed to have to want to, you know, be one of the best players. He already thinks he is. He already thinks that it doesn't matter if he doesn't play.
Mike, seriously, you've studied these people in this city for a long time, and you grew up here, obviously. What were you doing when you were 25? So, a real question, like, what were you doing at 25 years old?
I was working full-time at a smaller newspaper, chasing the dream, trying to get better so I could get a better job.
Right.
That's what I was doing.
Right. And if that paper had let you go, you had a passion for writing at that time.
Yes.
You would have went somewhere else to try to write, correct? At that time.
Yes.
Okay, Jennifer, do you remember what you were doing when you were 25 years old?
Yes.
And what were you doing?
I was working at NBC 10.
Okay.
In the audio department.
Okay. And you had goals.
Yeah.
And had they let you go at 25, you would have kept doing something else, right?
Yes. Yep.
Right. And I was doing, I only know how to do this. This is my only skill. I was doing this at 25. That's the only thing I know how to do. Isn't it strange, Mike, like psychology-wise, that a 25-year-old would just be willing to stop doing what they've done their whole life?
In this case, no. And you're right 99.9% of the time. But we've talked about this before. This dude was raised differently.
Right.
This dude was raised with crown jewels around his forehead.
Right.
And he's got a lot of money in the bank.
Right, but Embiid did too at 25. And everybody called him lazy and everything else. And I'm not even saying they were wrong at the time, but everybody called him that. No one's saying that now. So the point was, he kept on going at 25. He got ripped. He didn't quit. And now no one's calling him that. And now he's 27 and arguably the best player in the damn league. Yet this 25-year-old, because one person said one thing about him, that was enough to just make him quit on playing the game? Does he not love playing the game? He just was good enough at it?
He doesn't.
He believes that it's an entitlement, that he doesn't have to love the game. The game loves him. And therefore, everything's going to be just fine because that's the way he was raised, because he was raised to be perfect. And whatever he does is perfect. And he was a country hero. And he was this. And his parents, sort of let him go. And it's just an odd situation that he has now, his brain hardened to the point where he doesn't see the realities that other people see.
Boy, is it going to harden when he's traded for Harden in the offseason.
All right, well, let's go to the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to hear Daryl Morey at like 5:10, but we have your calls coming your way after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour, Mike Mussinelli Show. 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of their big window and door winter sale through the month of January, where you're going to get 40% off all windows and doors. Just call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GUIDA.com. I need the two of y'all to reconcile something for me as it pertains to what Daryl Morey said.
All right.
He said at the end of the interview that they are, and I appreciate his honesty, less likely than likely to make a deal at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said, you know, there's a sliding scale of what he would take. Originally, it was top 25. It went to top 30. He said today that maybe, because of the way Embiid's playing, a top 40 player.
Yeah.
Slid the scale a little bit.
He did.
So does that mean he would be willing to take lesser than originally thought?
Probably.
So the one thing that's been bugging me today, after having Mr. Morey on,
yeah,
what that means.
He probably would be willing to take somewhat less because of how good Embiid is. But he also, I believe that there would be something else attached to it. So let's say he would trade Simmons for a top 25 player straight up. He probably would take a top 40 player back, but what's the sweetener on the deal? Top 40 player and a one? A top 40 player and a one and a two? Like, what else would come with it, I think, would matter.
All right. Jen, any thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with Ty. And it bothered me a little bit, too, as I was listening to him.
A little bit of a slide, yeah, sliding scale there.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess what at this point, what else do you expect for him to do? You know?
All right. I mean, listen, I think he's creating a landing spot for us all when he says it's less likely than likely to make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to have to, I don't know, we'll just have to go along it and hope, this season didn't turn out to be the championship season, but it opens the off season for a deal that will really transform him.
Yeah, that makes sense, because if Simmons came back, it wasn't going to be a championship season.
Yeah.
Because he's not good enough.
All right. Richard in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rich?
How you doing, Michael?
Good.
Good. Hey, I am really worried. I've been a Sixers fan since forever. I saw games live with Wilt Chamberlain and with Maurice Cheeks and Dr. J. That was great basketball. Some of the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
But every time the Sixers trade an all-star, they have been pitiful. And I am really worried about the Sixers in this situation. I think we've got to get a really good player out of it. And I hope this guy is different, that he can pull it off, because I have little faith.
Well, there's only really been one example in the past, and that was the Barkley trade, and he forced his way out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
so,
that's what Simmons is doing.
Well, but the Sixers caved. Charles forced his way out of here. They made a bad deal. So Morey is doing the opposite.
Yep. Well, I'm just hoping that Morey can pull it off, because...
Well, I think Simmons, that's the whole point, that he's not going to make a Tim Perry, Jeff Hornacek, Andrew Lang deal.
Yeah, I hope so.
Tim Perry.
I hope so. But I'm also concerned. I really like Tobias Harris and Thybul. I hate seeing them lose those pieces, but I guess you got to move the money.
Tobias Harris?
He's struggling. He really is struggling. He's a great guy, but he's not playing the level that he.
Nothing. But He's got the suction cup thing going, he's always short on his shots. I don't know if that suction cup thing is working the way it's designed to work.
Yes,
you know, maybe it's sucking some strength out of him.
No, it's not.
It's a little. Tyrone, when he's short. I mean, his misses are short misses.
But that was last. That's been his whole career. He never hits the back iron.
I never heard anybody speak highly of that suction cup thing. I never.
Kobe Bryant did it.
He did.
Yes, he liked it.
Michael Phelps did it.
He like started
Michael,
the whole
yeah,
trend.
Michael Phelps started the joint because he had those marks and he's got to have a shirt on.
I would love to try it.
Because he's had a shoulder issue that he's playing through. He talked about it after a game recently. The shoulder is nicked up.
All right.
Go ahead and do it.
You're gonna take.
I would.
Well, he sees one guy miss one jump shot and says,
he's always short. He's got three suction cup marks on his arms every night. He's short every night.
But he was
maybe
short.
Maybe don't use the suction cups.
Why was he short last year? All his misses were short last year. He's one of these guys that has a shot that
he suction cupped it last year too. He was suction cupping it.
It's called cupping.
But I'm saying,
whatever it is.
But I'm saying he was short at Tennessee.
So I suck you cut my jaw so I get more words out?
No. It'll hurt your face.
I don't think
face.
It works that way.
It'll hurt your face.
I'm just saying.
I would not do it anywhere
I'm not so sure it's
face.
That beneficial. All well, right. Robin Media. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Hey, Mike. What's happening?
What's going on, Rob?
Just like to continue the conversation a little bit regarding Jalen Hurts.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think you guys had mentioned earlier that, you know, obviously he's a good person, good leader, decent for the team, but... you know, obviously his arm talent's not there. And I think the bigger glaring issue is he doesn't throw with anticipation. And, you know, there are quarterbacks in the league that do not have arm talent, but they are able to succeed because they throw with anticipation. They know where the routes are. They can read defenses. I think that's a little bit where Jalen comes up short, getting to the line, being able to read a defense pre-snap. But I think the bigger issue is I don't know where they go from here. You know, everybody's mentioning Russell Wilson. You're looking at two firsts, a second, and a third. You're looking at Derek Carr, two firsts and a second or a third. And then Deshaun Watson, you're going to have to kick the tires on that to see ultimately what kind of legal action is going to be made. So not really sure what direction, you know, you ultimately think we should go.
To me, it's simple. If you can improve your position, however your evaluation is, whether you have to make a trade, whether you think there's a draftable guy that has arm talent, however you need to do it, you need to do it. Very few people succeed to a high level with what you said. Like, if you don't have arm talent, who has succeeded without arm talent and relied on to anticipation? That's it. Really, I mean, think about it. That's it. Unless you want to go back in time.
Right.
And people go, Steve Young, well, that was a long time ago, man.
And I don't see there's any draftable process because, you know, you're looking at Wilson, he's 33. The talent
that's
there.
Not a prohibitive age.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not, especially with, you know, what Brady's doing. Not everybody can do what Brady's doing, but, you know, he has a lot of years ahead of him, but does Wilson really get us to that next level where we can compete for a title, based upon...
Well, maybe not next year, but it's certainly you have to worry about that position as you add other pieces.
Do you trust Howie making the right decision this offseason?
That's who I have. So I understand the 15, 16, 19 is perilous territory. But they would have to trade two of those to get Wilson anyway, so they would only have to hit on one. All right, so Daryl Morey, the president of Basketball Operations, joined us a little earlier in the show at 3 o'clock. If you can get a chance to hear it, if you're driving home now, you're on the commute. Here's what Daryl had to say today. We are now joined by the president of Basketball Operations, Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. Now, let's first start with the Embiid factor. And what he did last night, and you're watching the performance. A performance like that wows all of us, but it also triggers some more questions about the future of the season down the line. So, first of all, what was your reaction when you're watching that guy do that last night?
I mean, it was mind-bending. It's so special, and I loved every minute of it. I'm glad we had set this up and it happened after that performance because I think, look, you know, as a Philadelphia 76ers, your fans out there and myself, You just got to realize how we're in a special time, and we all do take a step back and just say, this is, you know, we're all seeing greatness, and in a person who's a great person as well. And, you know, it's special. It makes all of us at the Sixers organization who get up every morning and say, look, how can we win a championship? And obviously we'd be winning it for not just Joel, but the city and the fans and everybody. But you, it feels like an extra responsibility when you have someone playing this great to make sure we do the right things.
And so the urgency to win a championship is there. Now let's try to put this in perspective. The conventional wisdom, and I'm assuming that even inside your building, is that maybe you're just a little short to winning a conference and playing for an NBA title. But when you look at how one guy can carry a team, have you looked at it like, you know what, without a deal, we could still be in this? What is the truth that you guys are going over right now with your team?
Sure, I think, look, the best way to like get a sense of that is to look at NBA history, and I'm a student of NBA history. I know Doc is even better than me. Elton Brand was a great player as well. And, you know, look, it has happened that someone playing as well as Embiid has won the title. So I do absolutely believe that this team, even without any changes, has a chance. It's not as good a chance as any of us want. Like, we want to improve that chance. We want to improve both every day in practice, but also in my job in figuring out how to maybe add to the team in a way that it really improves what's happening around Joel and Tobias and our other great players. So, you know, at the end of the day, for sure we have a chance. I mean, you can literally go to Vegas and bet on it right now, so you can calculate it. It's a real chance. It's not where I like to be. I like to be at least in the top five in the league. We're just outside of that. But we absolutely have a chance, and we know how special it is.
All right, let's talk about the other side now to enhance your chances and what you've been trying to do all year long with this whole thing. Is your phone ringing extra these days, and are you using it more as we get closer to the trading deadline? Is this really an active situation that there's going to be a deal made?
I would say there's a lot of chatter around the league, whether it's a deal with us or between multiple teams. There's a lot of frustrated teams out there. I would put us in the frustrated camp in that, you know, we don't have our whole team. We do have a big, you know, chunk of our, you know, pretty constrained salary that we can pay to players not playing. And so that's very frustrating. So I think we're in that. Then there's teams that are frustrated because they're losing or not quite as good as they thought they would be. And that's creating a lot of chatter. So I do think there's going to be a lot of movement around this February deadline. And, you know, if something makes sense for the Sixers, obviously we're gonna do that.
And you've said this all along. You have to get a star player in return for Ben Simmons. Now, I guess what I'm asking you is the value for that star player, is it more at the trading deadline in your experience, or would it be in the offseason? And if it's the offseason, how do you then tell your fans that you basically burned a season to wait for a better deal in the offseason?
Well, first off, it's whenever it comes, right? Because here's what you always have to compare your question, which is a good one, to the alternative. So let's say we don't make a big move at this deadline, which has a very good chance of happening, right? The comparison is to where we're sitting right now. We are actually sitting on a solid chance to win the championship with how well Joel is playing, how well Doc is coaching, how well the players are playing around him. We have a solid chance. If all the trades at the February deadline only help us in a very marginal way, what we've done is not really helped their chance this year. We just feel better about ourselves because there's a couple names that people maybe recognize, and we're like, oh, this is exciting. We got a couple new names. But we really haven't changed our place, and now we no longer have that ability to get an impact player later. This is literally our way to pair Joel with Tobias and another impact player to give ourselves a real chance to win. And if we just do a marginal trade that's mostly sideways, because we'll all feel better that there are names playing on the court, that will hurt Joel. That will hurt the 76ers. That will hurt our whole roster in the long run more than if we're patient.
Yeah, so, that makes a lot of sense, but fans will look at it differently. Fans will go, you burned away a season. Maybe the players you could have gotten would have helped you this year. So how can you expect us to...
My point is this. Our best alternative to doing a trade also burns away the season. If they think we're burning the season away without trading Ben, we are not only burning this season away if we trade Ben for something that makes everyone feel good, we're also burning away all the other future seasons. So it makes sense. We're burning way more by doing a marginal trade than if we are patient. We have a solid chance this year, and then we also have the ability to win more in the future as well.
All right.
So my point is, like,
yeah,
trade or no trade,
yeah,
we're burning away. Whatever they view as burning away is being burned away.
Okay, so you're saying even if you make a less than stellar deal, that's going to hurt you even worse.
Yeah, and the labels like stellar and things like, none of that matters to me. None of that matters to anybody. We're not looking for a stellar deal. We are looking for a deal that makes us a championship contender in the top two or three in the league of winning the title. Those are the teams that win, right? Mm-hmm. We are not, like, if we do a deal that takes us from the eighth best chance to win the championship to seventh, you know, you're looking at like a 0.5% better. And everyone feels better because Ben Simmons, who people, you know, want gone, people will feel better that that name is no longer there. But our odds haven't changed much at all. And now we've not only burned away this season, we burned away our future as well.
We're talking to Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations. I want to ask you this question just as a... because now that you've had all these months to digest this thing, how did this thing with Ben unravel out of control? It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen in 30 years of covering sports in this city. So in looking back, now that you've had months past it, how do you believe it unraveled to this point?
It's very surprising to me and everybody. I think everyone needs to look in the mirror. I know I look at the mirror with myself. What could I have done better? Could I have established a better relationship with Ben? I would say yes. Everyone, I think, needs to look in the mirror and figure out how to do better, because this is not a good situation. We're all responsible on all sides. And I can't really tell you. I mean, you know, you'd probably have to have Ben on himself to have him explain it to you. I can't really tell you, like, it's obviously not something I understand, but it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Ben thinks. It matters how he's looking at it. And this is how he's looking at it. And, you know, all we can do is, you know, work through that, work with him, and try to get where we have the best chance to win the championship. But it's very surprising to me. I think, look, if you were to pull all 420 players in the league, I would say 370 of them would be dying to play for Joel Embiid and the 76ers. And the fact that we have a player who doesn't want to be on the 76ers is surprising to me, and it's frustrating. And I think everyone has to take some responsibility, including myself, for where we're at.
Listen, you've been around a lot of NBA players. As far as the narrative goes, it was triggered the Harden trade. He didn't like that. And then the comments by Doc and Joel Embiid. Is it that simple that he would go off because of that, or are we missing something?
I think there's been various reports of his issues. I can't reveal what he's said to us privately. It's not fair to him, but he like, does it really matter the reasons? It's frustrating, the reasons, but we just need to either correct those reasons, which so far we haven't been able to do, or make a trade. Those are really our two options. And so far, I get the fans' frustration that we've not accomplished either. We've neither addressed his concerns, whether people agree with him or not. It's our mutual job with Ben to address those concerns or made a trade. We've done neither. So that's frustrating. I get it.
Is it beyond realism to think that he could ever play for you again?
I 100% believe he could play for us again, and he'd be literally almost the perfect player we could have to pair with Joel Embiid. People don't understand how much he impacted. I think they are, and I think that's why there's continued big trade interest in him. But it doesn't even take that difficult to look to say our defense goes from the best in the league to average, right? That's a massive part of the game. And Joel and Ben together always put together an elite defense. That is so important for playoff basketball. And he also covered up our rebounding has gone from 10th to near the bottom of the league. Ben Simmons was that the only difference between last year's team and this one is really Ben Simmons. We've had some really nice new players in Niang and, Maxey's taken a big step forward and Drummond's added a lot. And like, but the reality is the core of our team is the same and it has a Ben Simmons hole in it. It really does.
Yeah, Bob, well, I guess what I'm asking you is, after all this, it can't possibly be realistic to think that he'd put your uniform on again.
I think he can. Obviously, I think you're right. The majority of people think that's not possible. Look, my job is to win the title. My job is to continue to try to make it where, you know, we either make the right trade or we somehow hurdle the issues that Ben has with playing here and get him back here.
All right, last question, and I really appreciate you spending so much time with me. And it's probably an unfair question you won't answer. But people want to know, like, by the trading deadline, what kind of percentage do you think, with your instincts in this league, that you can make a deal that will help the Sixers go forward? What percentage? Is it 50-50? Is it 40-60? Is it 60-40? Where are you?
I think it's less likely than likely. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. Like, look, it won't be from lack of trying. We have a whole team of front office. It's all we do. We have no other job that matters. It's all we're working on. And I only say less likely. It won't be because we don't want to do it. It'll be because, for whatever reason, I mean, I can tell you that these other 29 teams, none of them wake up and say, hey, today, how can I help the 76ers get better? They all wake up worrying about their own team. So, like, the main reason I say less likely than likely is it takes two or three to tango, and trades are not easy to construct in this league. There's a lot of risk aversion. There's a lot of, like, you know, decision makers that have to be hurdled. It's very complex to put a deal together, and that always makes it less likely than likely to get a deal done.
Okay, so in any event, don't pay any attention to ballsack.com. That's what we're saying here.
I would implore people to ignore
Daryl, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll talk down the road. All right. That was Daryl Morey. You heard what he had to say. And at the end, less likely than likely is a pretty main message to come out of this. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take a couple calls. We got Sound Off coming our way. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. The biggest names in Philly sports talk are on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Sean Kincaid Show.
Tyrese, did you actually trash talk Joel Embiid as he was on the free throw line going for his new career high?
I did. I told him he wasn't very good at basketball. Just messing with him. Joel is good at getting under people's skin, and I'm glad he's on my team.
Anthony Gargano.
Points per minute, Joe leads the NBA. You get a guy that can put up 50 in that little time. Let me look at him. He's just unstoppable. To then take it to the other level, which is the winning level. You gotta have somebody with them. The two-man game. You gotta have it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Last night, you saw a display where Joel Embiid showed that he was a blend of the great skills that have defined every great player. You look at the Shaq piece. You look at the Dirk piece. Yeah, I get it. It's gonna have to take the most dominant performance maybe in the history of the NBA to carry the Sixers to a conference title.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
All right, it's time for the final Twitter poll numbers, and they're brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. And make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. PoweredByMoyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MPD, and more. Order online at PoweredByMoyer.com. All right, Jen, final numbers.
All right. With the Sixers not making a Simmons trade this season, it'd be a waste of a great Embiid season. Trade this year would be a waste of a great Embiid season. You know what I'm trying to say. And we're sitting at 50-50.
50-50. That's unbelievable.
It changed after the interview.
It's unbelievable.
It's
the way this has been sliding today.
Yep. Well, credit to you with the Maury interview. Yep. I think it's adjusted, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It changed after that interview.
Oh, well.
Well, reasons, logic, and the fans. I always thought this is a very intelligent basketball city.
Yeah.
A basketball man came on and explained the situation, mm-hmm. and fans adjusted.
All right. Well, just, you know, listen, we're buckled in. We're paying attention every day. I just a quick side note to a lot of parents listen, a lot of kids also. Parents of thinking of sending your little skippies to UConn, figure on a major tuition hike. Because today, Kevin Ollie won an $11 million arbitration settlement against the university for wrongful firing.
Oof.
Yeah. And so, wow.
They actually were, they're insured for that.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking maybe Gino Auriemma might have to take a pay cut.
Although, I would love it if he did, because that team's been getting their butts kicked.
Yeah.
The other day, Oregon was up by 20.
He's making about $11 million, isn't he, there?
He's making a lot of money.
By the way, for the attorneys in our audience, depending on whether Ollie hired him hourly or whether they took the case on a contingency basis, if they did take it on a contingency basis, a cool $3.5 million is coming to them. Congratulations.
Right, nice payday.
To those attorneys up there.
Always
in
thought
Storrs, Connecticut.
Always thought that was odd up there. Like, he wins the title and...
Yeah, they went again. The president went after him.
Kevin Durant
worked out for him.
Kevin Durant says the biggest influence on him in the NBA to make him a better player was Kevin Ollie.
That's the best 10-day contract Kevin Ollie ever got. Right there.
I think he was there a whole year. KO was here for a while.
I know he was. Yeah, by the end, he had like 10 days. Around
Oh, yeah.
But apparently, I wouldn't even look for a job. I have news for you. I got 11 mil. Forget it.
I agree.
I'm eating macaroni and cheese all day.
Because you have limited tax liability on lawsuits. So he's not getting banged like if he made 11 million. That's like 11 million.
Congratulations to KO. All right, let's go to Tom in Philly. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer. I'll take the 3.5.
Right, what would you have taken that case on, an hourly basis or a contingency?
Well, I once won an award of $2 billion
World
Court in The Hague.
You bastard.
I was getting paid by the hour.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
But that was a big case against... companies in Iran, and it was tried in the Hague court by satellite.
$2 billion, huh? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we actually got the whole $2 billion because we found it in Dutch banks and froze it pending litigation.
That's awesome. All right. What do you want to talk about today, brother?
By the way, all y'all would do to ride the river with, I'll tell you that right now. I would definitely go be in a foxhole with any one of three of you.
Hey, thank you very much. We're foxhole people.
Yes. Yeah. I don't usually dislike athletes, and especially our own local athletes. But I'm telling you, this 25 is getting on my nerves to the point where I'm really starting to dislike this guy intensely.
You're just starting to dislike him?
Well, like I said...
You just came around?
No.
The guy's a rat.
I know. I dislike what's happening. I usually try not to dislike the person. But I'm getting to the point that I can't stand watching us waste an entire season like the one Embiid is putting up there. Night after night, he's going out there.
I got you. I don't know what they can do about it. The guy blew him up. And, you know, they're not going to let him win here. They got to give value.
No, they got to give value. And I that's one thing I agree with Maury with. I would not settle. I would not settle for half value or three quarters value. I might settle like for 95% value, but I want value, and I wouldn't cave.
I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to cave. Zach and Logan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach. Yo, Zach.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Zach?
Listen, man, I hear people, you know, talking about Daryl Morey, man. We got to first, man, we got to look at his track record. Like, I understand the bench situation is getting on everybody's nerves, but Daryl Morey, I trust him. Because you see what he did with the Rockets and all the players he bring in, Chris Paul, didn't work out, Westbrook, he got hard to the Rockets. Like, what he do when he first came with us? He straight got rid of Al Horford contract. He got rid of Jay Rich and all them. Like, the man know what he's doing. And I feel as though we probably not going to trade Ben, but we got to get rid of Tobias Harris, like, before the trade deadline. We got to get rid of that man. He getting paid more than Embiid to, you know, do nothing. And I feel as though we should just make that move.
Well, it's just like, I don't know what his worth is at this point, you know? I don't know what you're going to get for Tobias Harris at that salary. Are you going to get a better player than Tobias Harris?
I feel as though for this year, we just need, like, we'll be, because we're not going to get another star player. Like, that's out. But then you got a solid role player. I want to say, I don't know. We just need like another solid player like that.
Well, yeah, to add to Tobias, you want to get rid of Tobias? He's a solid role player.
Because yeah, you're right. But do you see Sabonis over there on the Pacers, and he played a 4-2, and he's over here getting tripped up every night.
Yeah, but Sabonis can't play with Embiid. So yeah, well, he brought up a name, Joshua Richardson.
Oh,
what did he hit the toilet bowl in this league?
How about that? And Maury, oh, he's never done anything. He got Curry. For Richardson at a second round pick, that's a steal.
Yeah.
And Boston apparently is looking to move Richardson again and Al Horford.
He's got no game. Richardson no game. Is a no game.
No game.
Greg in Bethlehem, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. Nice interview with Daryl Morey. I certainly come away pessimistic that they're going to do anything during the season. A curious thing, I haven't really heard anywhere reports from other teams' perspectives. What do you think other teams think about Simmons? I mean, do you think that they're all thinking, I'm not going to touch that nutcase?
No.
Or
no.
You think that they're
a talented player. Oh. They know his talent level. So they're not getting a nutcase. He's only a nutcase who wants to get away from Philadelphia. He goes to another team, he's going to be happy. They're not thinking he's going to act up. He wants to, you know, he's still a player.
So you think that there's quite a few teams out there that covet Simmons?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that'll bode well for the offseason then, if there's that many teams that are interested.
Yeah, now there is, like, people out there. Guys like Bradley Beal, James Harden, they're not free agents. Okay, so you're still going to have to make a deal for him in the offseason, just to make that clear. All right, early, I want to get Spanky in here. Last chair, because apparently Spanky fell asleep on the line, and so it'll be our last. Spanky, did you fall asleep on us?
I did. Mike.
You fell asleep. You were on hold and fell asleep.
Correct. Listen, right. I was
That's a violation.
Right? And I was sitting in the car waiting for y'all to get on early, and I dozed off, and I thought I was dreaming. I thought I was dreaming, and y'all was in my dream. I swear to God. Then I woke up and your producer was like, "Spanky."
Were you in the car? I hope you were parked.
Yeah, I was parked. I was sitting in my parking lot
All right. Yeah, I mean, like a drop of a pin, you can fall asleep like that.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm tired, man. I'm a general manager, man. I'm tired. I'm running like three departments.
That's hysterical. All right, man. What's on your mind?
All right, man. I heard what I'm glad I told now, because I heard what Daryl Morey said. I got a strange when they're going to do the deal, but Mike. They got to do something. They can't leave Embiid out there like that. I seen he drop that 50 yesterday, and that was all good and stuff, and it was against Orlando. But if he really had to carry them yesterday, and he shouldn't have had to carry them against these teams like that.
Well,
you got to get somebody else, Mike. They're not going to get past five if he got to keep carrying them like that. I don't think.
Listen, I get you. He's playing at such a level now that it heightened your expectations that maybe they can pull it off. But I agree with you more than not. Well, you heard Daryl Morey, less likely than likely. I mean, I don't know what else to say. If they can't get the players going to make a difference, then I guess.
Look, they don't have, like, Giannis is great, right? But he got Chris Middleton and all them other cats.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
They don't have them on this side, on his side. So he got to do something. I just want some athleticism and somebody that can score on this team. I'm tired of the minivan. He stinks. He looks slow and fat, running up and down the quad. He doesn't hit his wall. We don't have court my stinks.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a big Niang guy either. I know a lot of people
are. He stinks. He's forcing the issue. He's dribbling too much.
I like to see him lift a weight or two. But
you know. Yeah, he's done, Mike. He's done.
I hear you.
We got to get a team. We got to get a new team under this guy, Mike.
All right, Spank. He fell asleep.
I can't believe he really fell asleep.
I could tell. I heard a little bit of snoring going on in there when I got to him.
Funny.
Niang should be a guy you like.
Yeah.
He shoots 40% from three. 40% from three.
Too much Dario in him. But the way he moves. I don't like the way he moves.
But what about the fact that he's
running?
He's a little too doughy for my potatoes.
But that might be his natural body type. He can fire. He makes 40% of his threes.
Yeah, all right.
You don't like the way he runs either?
Yeah, I mean, he's all right. He's, I don't know.
He's a solid bench guy, not a star. For what they paid him, he's excellent. They paid him $8. They paid him $8. He makes 40% of his threes. What more could you want? Get it,
a great deal. A great deal.
Let's take a break. It's just an example of how unathletic they are when they come off the bat. Like, yeah, that's just an example of it. That's
but he makes
it's just
shots.
One guy.
If Korkmaz can shoot like him, we might have something going.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, we got Sound Off.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Let's keep going.
All right, time for Sound Off. You know the number, 610-771-9705. You got something to say, hit us up, leave us a message. All right, let's see what we got on Sound Off for today.
Can we ban Dave for a week? Three main reasons. One, we hear him too much. Two, he didn't get the Jerry Lee Lewis song. And three, he referred to the city in Canada as Ottawa?
Well, that's the way they say it up there.
I agree with the Ottawa. The first two, yeah. Though... Now, Dave is under a lot of people's skin.
He is. He's a topic of controversy to the fan base here.
And I mentioned that Ottawa to Tyrone yesterday when he said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I liked it, though, because we do that.
That's the way they say it in Canada, the Ottawa.
Like, I did not know Dave was Canadian.
Yes, well, I'm still waiting.
He's referring to the Canadian pronunciation.
To do one episode of Flyers Outsiders. I've been begging. They keep on laughing at me.
Flyers Outsiders.
I want to do it.
Yeah, well, that'd be good if they were actually a viable team.
I still just let me do it. It might help.
By the way, I got something to say about them tonight, though. Something to say about them tonight. All right, what's next?
Mike, if you don't value linebacker in this league, and I don't know why this organization doesn't, then I don't know what you're watching this weekend, because I've seen a hell of a lot of great linebacker play, including the team that just beat you. Had great linebacker play from David and White. If you don't take Lloyd or N'Kobe Dean for one of those three picks, there's something wrong with Howie Rosen.
Oh, well, I agree with N'Kobe Dean's there. I would be very interested. But yeah, I don't know what, like, he might not be taken before that. Listen, that's what their philosophy is. Andy Reid, for years, stuck to the philosophy that wide receivers weren't important. Yeah, I don't know what these guys think.
Cannot believe you gave Tobias Harris max money for what he does. He is so useless. He gets paid more than Joel Embiid. I can't even fathom that. It's just a pathetic excuse. What the hell are they thinking? This guy, he stinks.
A good night last night.
Night. He was the only one in the first half that scored at all other than Embiid.
Yeah, suction cups worked last night.
Mike, you keep saying that Jalen doesn't have a strong enough arm. Well, I'm going to tell you one play that happened last year where he threw a bomb to Deshaun Jackson in that Dallas game. That's all I needed. This kid has a strong enough arm.
Yeah, that's like, not really the point. You're talking about set up and then heave. Anybody can set up and heave. We're talking about arm strength as far as the tight throws you need to make in this league.
Ben Simmons is the most deluded player in any sport. Nobody wants you, Ben. You can't shoot. And you're just going to end up losing your entire contract. And your agent is just as deluded.
He's not going to lose his entire contract. Yeah, the contract is still going to be viable, whoever he gets traded to.
Yeah, I guess he's assuming he would keep sitting out. But apparently, according to Keith Pompey, they are still finding him for games. They're not finding him for the other stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
All right, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned. Cousins Corner is coming your way. We'll lead you into Flyers Blue Jackets on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight. And by the way, I might break off a little piece of that tonight, Tyrone.
I did the same thing.
The Flyers with 9 in a row on the L column are favored tonight against a better team.
I think they win tonight.
It's screaming.
That's right.
All right, on NBC Sports Philly, stay tuned. You get the Flyers coverage at the warm-up pregame, the game, and the postgame. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.